This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is Tuesday night, show number 200. It is the 27th of January. You are live in Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Katie June, Kat Carlson. Marty Ryer is over there. And
so close to on time.
And Al Perkins is here.
I mean, technically, she was in the building.
Yeah, she's here. She's on time. It's all right.
Very nearly prompt.
Very nearly. I like it. Very nice. Well, here we are. I posted a picture earlier on the Facebooks about our new microphone stands, and it seems as though that they're all working. And it's cool.
And you know what's funny is that I immediately can't remember what the other ones look like.
There were little stands with a base that took up all the room where your arms now are.
Yeah. Okay. But it's funny how, like, the minute something changes, I can't. Like, you tear down a building, and the next day I'm
what
like,
was there?
What was there?
Yeah.
Like, even if I can still see the shadow of the golden arches, was that McDonald's?
Yeah, was it? The building's the same shape, but what is that? I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, it's all good. Al's going to die here before at hour one, so join us for hour where everybody else talks more.
Well, there'll be paramedics here.
Could be.
I hope they're cute.
Oh, my heavens. Well, we've already started with our first round of blender drinks. I think it's appropriate we start with little...
Double fisting it around the table over here.
Right on it. Get on it. My gosh.
Can we have a little cheers action?
Well, sure.
Kick the show off. With
cheers for something. Hello.
Cheers. Hello. Happy
cheers.
Whatever it is.
Happy Tuesday.
L'chaim.
Happy Tuesday. It is an actual day. What is?
We have a holiday. Oh, Marnie's going to bring us up to speed on national holidays that may involve groceries, I think.
Oh, holy cunt balls, Batman. I like it.
Who? Meow-cow. Meow-cow.
Cunt balls.
Wow.
I feel like there should be a cunt baller. You know what I mean? Like a little something available from Tupperware that helps you make cunt balls.
Wow. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it.
Well, I guess you could use a melon baller, just be gentle.
Yeah. Gingerly.
I'd like you to warm up the melon baller first, please. Thank you very much.
Ease up on the cunt baller, bitch.
Oh,
it's you. I'm like, oh, look, Dr. Ben Carlson's here.
No,
I can see her from here.
Parenthetically, sure is, yeah.
I saw something this past week on Facebook or some news thing that somebody named Dr. Ben Carson was going off. And I thought, what the fuck is she doing? Oh, one letter off. One letter off.
So close to being famous in my alter ego.
Because I really thought you were like, you had posted something about something, you know, important.
Certainly.
Yeah, and I was like, what in the hell is she doing?
Any missive for you is really quite important.
I'm like, she's become the new Fox News. Look at her go.
Oh, boy.
You know, I am trying to be well on my way to being famous for no reason other than being famous.
You're doing a good job thus far.
I'm trying. I've decided to sponsor my own Gay Pride Pavilion thing. Yeah. The Kat Carlson Memorial Gay Pride blah, blah, blah. Sponsored by Kat Carlson. I was going to give the sponsorship to the bar that I work for, and then somebody was like, why do that? Sponsor yourself. And I said...
And that'll really confuse people.
Fuck yes.
She's dead, and she's still sponsoring herself.
Right. She's dead and alive.
And alive.
So I'm on the fence about whether to tell Phoenix Pride about that or not, or if I'm just going to make the banner and hang it up.
You'll never get that pushed through.
No, just make it.
Deal.
Yeah.
Sold.
You know what? We can't...
And bring your own folding chair. Just sit there.
Katie and I might
That's
do that
how
this
the VIP
year.
Memorial
Maybe we should have the Kat Carlson Memorial, like stage one.
OMG.
The Kat Carlson Memorial, stage one, and then you'll be stage two.
That's fantastic.
We could start it at our stage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That'd be fun.
And you know what? While you're announcing the parade, let me encourage this. First up, because I might show up this year because they change it to Sunday.
Sunday, right.
Yeah, I'm going to need one hand of God, either out loud or just put your hands
up. We always
accept hand of God's nonverbal from news anchors that I know.
Legit.
Yeah.
They got to give me one of these.
Yeah.
Fit it in. It's hard to do in studio, but it's really easy to do covering a story out in the amongst the unwashed.
I've seen your work.
Yeah, thank you. But you need to, like, and as they pass by the Dr. Ben Carlson Memorial, you know what I mean? Like, just add that into someone's float description.
Sure.
Like, the drag queens of Charlie's are floating by the Kat Carlson Memorial VIP lounge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Katie and I are coming to you live this morning from the Kat Carlson Memorial stage.
VIP stage. One at the Phoenix Pride Parade.
And just see if anyone asks you. Just slip it in.
Oh my God, I want a t-shirt.
That's fantastic.
Okay.
I would really like a t-shirt, as a matter of fact.
All right.
I think that's fantastic.
I need to write this down.
How do we get shirts?
I'm really just going to go online and design them and order them.
I am so excited.
This is going
to
happen.
It has to be a black V-neck.
We can get that done.
Der.
Or at least one of them.
Right.
But I like all of us.
Der. Hand embossed.
Right.
Der. I like it.
I'd like to order two. Look at Bag of Nope trying to get some kind of two for sale.
Gosh.
I mean.
Very busy.
Oh my God, this is going to be the best parade yet because we have a theme.
We have a theme, yeah.
For our stage.
Coming to you live from the Cat Carlson Memorial Tribute,
Gay Pride Pavilion.
Gay Pride Pavilion and Clam Chowder Bar or whatever.
And you did Clam Chowder Bar. That's really VIP Lounge and Clam Chowder Bar.
I sponsored by Cat Carlson.
Marnie, I based the positioning of the mic because I thought you were closer around this way. Because
I love
them. Yeah, there's that.
Snuggle closer.
But you can move it, pull it. Ooh. You can pull the newsstand towards you and position the mic a little differently.
A little bit.
And you're still good.
I'm a little taller than you thought.
Okay, well, but not a lot. I was sure right.
I even sat in that chair
and tried to do it. Good. So, but I'm still taller than you.
Yeah,
so.
Just because. And did you shrink when you sat in that chair?
No, but I thought, well, if I'm this tall, she's got to be about here.
If shrinking happens in that chair, I'm going.
You did well.
With maybe a panty shield on to protect me from unwanted shrinkage.
Oh. Oh boy. Uh oh.
I almost shot that out of my nose.
Don't spit.
Wow. Almost did.
We appreciate a spit.
Well, we've all gathered around the old oval conference table for another episode of fun and frivolity.
Like
some misinformation is sure to be handed out at some point because, well, that's what we do.
That's what we call the weather report.
Well, Manhattan didn't get hit quite as hard as they did.
Yeah, but Boston got the shit kicked out of them.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. It went a little north, but ooh, boy,
if anybody's listening from the East Coast, please chime in and tell us how is it snowing where you are.
And if you don't have electricity, call in after.
Yeah.
Well, right now they've been.
The
really
funny thing
lucky.
Is, though, is New York had 11 inches of snow, so that's not a joke.
I feel like that's significant.
No.
Significant,
but they were. But in comparison, right that now. Is scary. I mean, scary. I have like
Nantucket's gone.
Yeah. What was killing me is the CNN had Don Lemon in a blazer. I don't mean a jacket, I mean a vehicle or whatever the hell it was, driving around in Snowmageddon doing reports from everywhere.
They all were. Yeah,
I'm like, really? Come on. It's snow.
I wish I had had more time because I wanted to record like a Snowmageddon segment.
Yeah, and Miguel Marquez was outside of, he was near Chelsea Piers down in the West Side Highway. And he was sitting there and it clearly was not snowing. So they're like, trying to make a story out of it. Well, it's going to happen at 11 o'clock. Right. Then go inside.
Yeah. It's not a story now.
Brooke Baldwin.
Oh, yeah. Was she hysterical today?
Like, on the side of her face was like ice. From the wind. Oh.
She was
just ice. And I was like, turn. Do something. Like, get both sides. Maybe back up.
You have to properly display how Mageddon the snow is.
How Mageddon.
But the people behind her.
Is that a verb?
I don't know where she was. I don't know where she was in Boston, but she was. The people behind her were like, they had shovels and they were jumping up and down and throwing snow.
Wait, what's her name? Because I need to look at her icy face.
Brooke Baldwin.
Meow Cal said she's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Brown grass and no snow. Well, fuck you.
But so the guys were jumping up and down. Somebody walked up to her while she was talking and handed her two hot chocolates. And she's like, well, it's live television, people. And then like the people that had been throwing snow, they brought a couple more friends and they like marched across and then they were like jumping up and down on the ground. And she turns around, she goes, yeah, this is live. It's snowing. And they just cut to commercial. Like, no breaking news. Just the look on her face of like, I'm sitting out here in a snow pile. Yeah. I got these fucktards behind
me.
Exactly. Yeah, Cal, that's exactly what happens. What he's saying is like, right now, you picture this that is
frozen
just
tundra.
Frozen tundra. And it kind of is, because the ground's going to be real frozen. But otherwise, you winter wonderland, not.
No, that ugly, gray.
Yeah,
and
nasty.
I still have,
and the snow that is there, of course, has been plowed and
it's
is
black
dirty.
And dirty.
Yeah.
And I still have, that. Even though I don't live anywhere near that, I still get January depression. Like, I'm still in the throes of that January.
Oh, it was gray.
One cloud in the sky today, and I'm immediately like.
Well, yesterday when
so
it was
bleak.
Drizzly and rainy. You forget about the 364 days a year we have pure sunshine, but the
absolutely.
One day you're like, oh my God, it's depressing.
And if it falls in January, I go right into the depression. Like I revert right back to my 19 years of
I understand.
Hell life.
I was like super kind of like in a weird energy funk today. And I slept a lot. But
we're not having Chicago weather because it's all one temperature. But like it goes from like sunny and beautiful to like cloudy and overcast, and it all happens in like the same 5 minutes.
Yeah. I definitely like missed a conference call today, and I fully like fake lied, and I was like, I was so busy today. Let me tell you what I like blamed it on work.
Well, you didn't
and
fake
I was like,
lie. You really
that was a lie. I had to tell like a big weird lie that I was like, and then this happened. You know, because I was lying, it had to get really weird. And I'm like, and then this, and then that thing, and then really I was
you
napping.
Forgot the basic tenet of keep it simple.
Yeah, I was just taking a nap
because it snowballed.
I slept through our weird conference call.
I love that the camera's right on all the weird things that I'm doing, like peanut things are coming out of my mouth,
but you can't see it.
Things on my tits.
But you can't see it.
Why?
I'm looking at the shot.
Oh, okay.
It's so far away, and it's blocked by your new microphone. You can't see where you've dribbled on your breasts.
There. I did my bosoms.
Lactating.
Okay, time to start around the table. Katie June, hi. Catch us up to date. Okay, thanks, Kat Carlson.
Time.
Wow.
Wrong answer.
Are we short on time tonight? What's happening?
No, we're running late.
This usually takes us till 8 o'clock.
I have just a very normal week and nothing crazy.
Slept today.
I did.
When the lie started.
Yeah. I have my doctor's appointment on Thursday, so I'm kind of like anxious to see what's going on. My vitamin D is very low, but other than apparently that's normal, which is totally bizarre for that we live in Arizona.
It's kind of normal for this time of year, though.
Perhaps, yeah.
But you're never outside, are you?
I mean, I was in the pool, but I go...
Supplemental.
Yeah. I take it every day.
Yeah, I don't know. I like walk or run or, you know, something most days out of the week. But either way, it's low, so I have now
I wonder if it's. I always wonder if it's sunblock related. Since you should get vitamin D from the sun, I'm wondering if we all use sunblock so conscientiously that we're blocking vitamin D.
I don't use sunblock, so that's not my problem.
Next caller.
I've always...
The mystery continues.
I've always found it interesting that so many ailments started when sunblock came into use because obviously...
Oh, that's not true. I know you tell it's not
it
true.
It seems that way.
I know, it seems that way, but skin cancer's been going around. People just didn't know what they were dying from.
No, that's fine. Let them die from that. But you just spent too much time in the sun. But the sun's there for a reason. You got to have some of it.
Right.
You can't.
But then the people in England that didn't have a gut scurvy and everything, like, you do need some. Yeah. You do need some sun. But that was from
key.
Citrus. But...
Gotta have it.
And that was pirates, I think. But I mean...
Also that.
Because they were a long time on sea without fresh food.
They got lost at sea.
Right.
So anyhow, but other than that, this week
rickets,
has been
that's
very.
That's what I'm thinking of. Rickets.
It sounds like something I don't want to have.
No,
but I'll rule it out. The endocrinologist on Thursday.
But I will make you a bet that on February, whatever 7 days is from today, you'll think you have it.
I might.
You'll spend 6 days googling it and come back from out next week.
You'll come back on the second and be like, oh my god,
listen,
I'm
people,
on the third.
I caught rickets.
Also scurvy. I might have that. I wasn't.
Seriously,
it's. I mean, at this point, it could be anything.
It could be anything.
So I did though. I was at a fundraiser for work. So this gentleman walks in to meet his congresswoman, and he writes makes a contribution. It's this fundraiser event, and he signs in, and he was an Indian guy. So I thought maybe he was a technology consultant and I was going to make a connection for Kelly.
Sure.
Yeah, way too stereotype.
Well, that's kind of a legit stereotype.
Yeah, I mean, it is. So I said, oh, well, what do you do? And he says, I'm a doctor. And I said, what kind of doctor are you? And he goes, I'm an endocrinologist. And I was like, oh, my God. So this poor guy who shows up to, like, meet his congresswoman and, like, makes his contribution and, like, this is all he wants to do, has to literally listen to me for about 30 to 45 minutes until he goes... I have to leave. And I was like, thank you for your session, doctor. And I think he's
now voting Republican.
And, and as he left, he told Katie, this is billable time.
Yeah, so. I know. I literally got his card. I'm like, I'm making an appointment. Okay. He doesn't think I have thyroid cancer. He heard 30 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes of my medical history in its entirety.
Why?
What I could fit into 30
Is it because
minutes.
Thyroid cancer victims don't talk nearly as much as you? I guess.
That's a fair point.
I'm just guessing.
That's
fair points.
Thank you.
So anyway, that's all that happened in my week. Pretty boring. Just really busy working on gala. So
yes,
anxious for this to come.
Tis the season.
And go.
It's award season. It's gala season. It's pageant season. It's wabbit season. There's so many.
You know, in the community, it seems like there's kind of a crew of volunteers that do these kind of big dinners and stuff. And so because the HRC gala is on the night of the 28th, which is a Saturday night, and the Fresh Brunch, the 1 in 10 Fresh Brunch, is on Sunday the 1st.
Ooh.
It's back to back. And we all, the whole same crew, is working both of them. So we are all, everyone's kind of on double duty right now.
Sure.
And so we're going from the HRC gala, like, up to the hotel where the Fresh Brunch is being hosted, renting, like, getting rooms, crashing there because we have to be up and like working at like you know 6 a.m.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart though.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, it'll be like a fun, you know,
it's
kind
like a slumber
weekend
party.
Yeah,
working. Yeah,
right. It's a
fun.
It's a hell of a push for that 48 hours, but then it's like a bonding and you're done. And once it's over, everybody kind of relaxes.
So I'm actually kind of excited about it.
That's kind of how Pride goes. The exact same way. All usually, and a lot of the same people cross over into so many different events.
All these people will and all this same crew we used to do entertainment for Pride because we worked with Natalie, and it's kind of like this whole crew of like volunteer peeps, so it's a lot of fun.
And look, you know, like once you know somebody will volunteer, that sucker will come back for something else. You know who that's who you call first.
Yeah, it's hard being, but
you feed him, give him a t-shirt, they'll be there all day long.
Oh my God, yes, it's fucking pizza and t-shirts.
That's it, that's how you get it.
That's it.
I put out for pizza and t-shirts, I'm just saying.
We don't need somebody to put out for Pride.
Well, thank
you. We just show up for it.
Thank you, Aaron, for that link. It was just a theory I dreamed up, about 20 minutes ago, based on no facts.
It sounded valid.
I did,
there's that.
So anyway, it's a good week. Glad to be here. Kat
Carlson.
My goodness. Well, it's been such a busy week since I left. Mm. It has.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No
really
sarcasm
has.
In that?
No sarcasm in that at all.
I was sensing sarcasm.
We were here on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I started the Couch to 5K app.
I've seen you make some posts.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I've made it through week one.
Feels good.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to repeat week one.
But do you like notice on day three?
How's the couch?
Better than day one.
I miss the couch.
No, kind of where you're at. Right
no,
now.
You know what? I do everything by app. My budget's by app. I quit smoking by app.
Wow. They're genius.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I quit smoking by app. So I'm feeling like the app might be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did that. I started that on Wednesday, and I've completed my week, and I'm ready to start again tomorrow.
Oh, wait, are you doing the Pride 5K? Are we doing this together?
No, I'm not signing up for that shit.
Heavens. Good to know. No. Okay. Fantastic.
No, I mean, not that I wouldn't want to, but no, Pride weekend is
oh, yeah,
it's Hell Week, honey.
Working,
I also work in a bar. Yeah.
I forgot.
And you're also working at Pride in the
VIP.
And
I'm working at Pride.
Tent,
Yeah.
So she and I will be together at that.
Right. So I've already told Sharon that I may or may not try and find a friend that like lives next door to the Pride Festival and just crash on their couch that weekend.
Yeah, you'll do that.
And she wasn't happy about it. She said, no, you come home.
Well, you're not going to be seeing
her. We're actually so close. I mean, just saying, we do have a back room.
I'm going to keep working on that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, because why drive 20 minutes back and forth? I could be sleeping.
You're welcome to crash on
collectively,
the
that's
bed.
40 minutes, actually, you can sleep.
No, I learned that in nursing school. Mm-hmm. I would ask people all the time, can I crash on your couch? Because I slept in my car sometimes. Because I'm like, yes, it's only like 30 minutes each way, but that's an hour of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Right. That I could be sleeping.
That I could be sleeping, and I'm an exhausted, whorish mess. Can I just, like, can I sleep somewhere close? And I used it.
Yeah, so I'm working on that process. And then last week on Thursday, a local radio station was having open auditions for their morning show.
That's what I wanted to find out about.
That was so cool.
I didn't understand what that post was about. So.
Right. So one of the local radio stations here in Phoenix has a morning show, and they call it The Morning Mess, and there are two personalities. And apparently they're looking for a third, and they've been doing this online campaign where people are submitting YouTube videos and everything, and I don't have the fucking time for all that. But I was going to think about it, so I went online.
If you'd had an app for it, you could have done it.
If I'd had a good app for it, I'd have done it. Yeah. Oh, and in my brain, like I went through all the show footage and like clipped things together, but no, that doesn't happen in my world. I don't have time for all that.
Got it.
So I went online Wednesday night to see like when the deadline was and if I had missed it entirely, just kind of checking up on it. And I saw that they were having just open auditions Thursday morning. Just show up and we'll talk to you.
Okay.
So I did that.
Yeah.
It was very, I don't know anything, and I probably won't make it.
Oh my God, I was picturing your amazing radio voice while I was watching you in line, and I was going, she's going to be so good.
And that was actually...
So excited about so many things, that's what Katie does.
I was really excited for you.
No, and it was so fun, because, you know, it went down in the stations downtown, it's on, like, Central and Roosevelt, so, you know, you go down, and there were already, like, 10 people lined up when I got there at, like, 10, and the auditions were at 11 or whatever. And so you jump in line, and you wait, and they come, and they get your name, and they give you your American Idol number, and you like pin it to your shirt.
Yes. I saw that on your shirt. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's very fun. And then they take you in, and they, you know, they had like an afternoon host doing the Ryan Seacrest interview with the like, what are you bringing to us? And I was like, nothing. You see this? This is what I'm bringing. What?
Make it work.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you walk in, and they've got like all the producers and everybody standing around. They give you your 2 minutes to, you know, talk to them or whatever. And they hand me a microphone, and they're like, hey, Kat, how's it going? And I pick up the microphone, and I'm like, hey, guys. And they're like, oh. Hi. Apparently the radio voice is a thing.
Is it? Because
they reacted to
it,
which was very fun. And yeah, I just...
Did you tell them that you've already got a show?
Oh my god, yeah. They give you a little.
You did not.
I put it on my resume.
Yes,
we're on a resume. Yes. Wow.
I did. I put it on my resume as a qualification. Are you kidding me?
I mean, if you're gonna say like, are you able to talk on a radio for 3 hours?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Got it. Check. Sold. I can.
I got over 300 episodes logged up. Let's take a listen.
So yeah,
we're not interrupted by a white woman. So. Yeah.
I sent my resume in, and then when you get there the day of, they hand you like a little questionnaire to fill out, like where are you from and what are interesting things about you and what that. And so under what are interesting things about me, I put I'm gay famous.
Yeah,
sure did. So
owner of the Cat Carlson Memorial.
Did you talk specifically about the Cat Carlson Memorial line of products?
They only.
Tent and awning. The Cat Carlson Memorial tent and awning.
You know, if only there were more time, because they really like time it out, and they've got a little intern sitting there with a bell exactly like this, and they tell you before you walk in, they're like, okay, when you hear the bell the first time, you have 30 seconds left. When you hear the bell the second time, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm up there and, you know, just like conversational, because I've got nothing. Like, I'm not necessarily a performer. I'm just a... I'm personable and talkable.
I wonder what other people were doing. Now, when you were in
apparently
line,
some
did you
guy
talk
sang.
To, okay, yeah, oh, yeah, I was going to ask you if
there were a lot of local like comedians that do stand up.
I can
and
think
stuff.
Of one person who was probably there that I hope he never gets it.
Probably,
I know him.
Probably. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Unpleasant. Said the
there
New
were
York Times.
There were some very cute, very enthusiastic, really young guys that were there, just like bouncing all over the place, like they were on American Idol, which was very fun.
Yeah, that's
or
fun.
Drugs.
It's cool. Yeah. What a fun experience.
Yeah, so it was super fun to just go down and do that, because like I said, like there's like this much chance of actually landing the job, but maybe there's a round two and that would be fun too.
Yeah,
you never know.
That would be fun.
Well, we're rooting for you, and I don't listen to that station, but I would if you were on it.
I mean, you probably still wouldn't, but
no, I literally
anything's got to be better than the fucking station I keep on in my house that makes me want to murder people.
That's true, and I kind of want to be on that station too, because that would be a lot of fun to
I'd like to fuck with them.
Wouldn't it though?
Oh, that dumbass doctor, whatever his name is, that fucktard.
Right. Wait, what do you listen to in the mornings?
92.3. I don't listen to it. It's what's playing at my house as I'm getting ready to leave. It's what I play for criminals, because I think that's what they deserve.
If you
break into my house, you should have to listen to this fucktard doctor give his asshole answers to medical questions.
Doctor, yeah, and I he know took which a, doctor you're talking about.
And I don't know which doctor.
I don't like his show.
And he took on transgendered this week.
Mm.
And he was like, I don't care what you do or what surgery you have, you are still a woman or a man. And this, and I'm like, and he's like, it's just my opinion. But then you're saying you're a doctor, you dumbass.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, the intolerance religion card, I can't help you.
Well, we have a doctor on our heart.
Genetically, you can't
alter
that. That is true. Genetically, you are going to be what you are when you start.
Right, chromosome-wise, you're stuck with what you got.
You're stuck with what you got. But you can live a healthy life, which will come up in entertainment. And I'm just... it was just one more reason. The fact that I don't pick up that fucking boombox, the 1980s boombox, and throw it at a wall one of these days.
Because you appreciate antiques, that's why you don't pick it up.
Garbage that comes out of those fuckers' mouth on 92.3.
And I do hate to say, though, on 92.3, I don't hate to say it because I do listen to it a lot, but I love... / hate Dave Ramsey, because I know that he's like a bigoted, like religious.
Right, but his financial
he's not local, he's syndicated.
Yeah, he is syndicated. Right. But his financial advice is really spot on. It's just genius. Yeah. It's so good. And I love listening to him.
Aside from the end of every hour that he says something about walking with Christ Jesus,
but is the only way to live financial freedom.
But aside from that, he doesn't push that shit on anybody else.
He doesn't.
The only other thing he will ever say is like when he's talking to people about their finances and what they do with their money, he'll say something about somebody will say something about tithing. He'll say that, but he doesn't push it. If you don't bring it up, he doesn't push it on people.
Okay, because I've never made it to the Christ Jesus part of his walking speech. I've only heard the.
It's only end of every hour.
The only way to find true financial freedom, I can do it for again. Walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
He says that. Record that and do that
Christ Jesus. Are you going to file him later? Like, why don't?
I
think his first name is Jesus. Like, why are we saying it like you're? You know what I mean? Like he's.
He says that.
Jesus. You know what? Clap your hands.
Jesus H Christ. I looked up what that meant one time. It's nothing. But
devil.
I got Palmer on that bandwagon, though. Unfortunately, I have discovered that I use the term Jesus Christ far too often, because Palmer did that the other day. She goes, Jesus Christ. I'm like,
God, I'd love to see this little kid in action.
No, honey.
There's more coming. There's more coming down the road based on what Mama says.
Let me tell you, swearing is often, and people may or may not know this, but swearing is based on...
The sign of a genius child. Well, then, hot
yes,
damn.
Yes, but it's also based on what you find blasphemous. So if you're not, like, people of other religions don't know that Jesus Christ is blasphemy, so they don't say it. Taking the Lord's name in vain doesn't mean anything, so it has no power to scream it out when you're angry. It has to be blasphemous. It's like, God damn it, doesn't mean a lot of things in different languages. A lot of your
super,
swear words.
Palmer has said that too.
Well,
so.
But fuck isn't blasphemous, and I say that a whole lot.
Right, right.
I'm really excited about
But then you get to words
fuck.
That are just considered like poor manners that have gotten.
Right.
But most of your
like
actual,
this entire
like,
show is based
when
on.
When you curse somebody, you curse like a curse word is now they use for bad words, but it's meant to be a curse. Like God damn you is cursing you.
Oh yeah, right.
That's what cursing really is. Like fuck is just a word that somebody decided was in poor
like
taste.
Like a pox upon your houses.
You're right. Right. Yeah. That's, then you're cursing someone. Right. But it has to come from.
But didn't fuck come from an acronym? Isn't it fornicate under?
No.
I thought there was
that's an urban legend.
Is that really?
Yeah.
I thought it always came from an acronym.
I've never even heard of that.
Well,
so.
Google it, Katie.
Learning new things.
Where did fuck come from, Katie?
It means to tap or something. Or
something
to,
like that.
Like,
oh, thank you. I got that.
The etymology of that
I'm gonna,
is
tap,
lengthy.
Going to tap that.
And wandering.
Trust me, I've been drunk enough on Google to look that up.
My gosh.
I think it means to hit or to tap. It's
I'm sure it does.
Old English word.
It does now.
Fucking short history of the F word.
Oh.
It is not an Anglo-Saxon word. Some of today's swear words did originate.
Page load.
Once upon a time, people were saying that the king, the English king, said, fornicate under command of the king. And that was where it came from. That is not true. Nor is pretty much any etymology of a swear word that involves an acronym. Shit cannot be blamed on cargoes of manure exploding in the middle of the Atlantic. Ship high in transit. I don't know. Anyway,
that would make you yell out. Fuck.
It's a big long article, but it didn't come from that.
No, but I think the word actually means like to tap or to hit or something like that.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
But I love that the fact that in as I've been watching a lot of British TV this week, cunt is not a bad word to them. Like that's
why we're popular overseas.
No, but it's not
good to know.
It's not really twat is not, and I don't like that word. I mean, as much as
twat.
I never used the word. I was not a fan of the word cunt before I met Marnie.
Oh, now you got her name right.
Yeah, well, and by the way,
we'll stick it next to cunt,
much.
And we're going
to
remember her name every time.
Is that? I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly.
All right, so Murneria, would you?
Murneria. Yes. Cunt.
How's the puppy situation at the old homestead?
Things are calmer.
Yeah, because the nuts are
knocking
gone.
On what? Yes.
But the one with the balls wasn't the problem.
Wasn't
it was
the problem.
The nipper.
No, but
nothing to
but
nip
the nipper was mad about
there's
the balls.
Nothing to nip nothing at to anymore.
Because he was pissed because look what you got. I ain't got those.
That's right. And my God, how big are they compared to him, you know?
Aaron says to strike. And I think that's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fuck.
I don't know. I didn't get that far.
All right. Fuck. Just try it. To hip. Whatever.
To fuck to cunt.
Okay, so dogs are good. Balls
dogs
are gone.
Are good. Balls are gone. Happy days are here again.
we got to Barbara in like three easy steps
that was,
there.
Yeah. Within the first half hour of the show.
Like
Streisand references.
So
from
last
balls
night,
to Barbara in three
last
easy
night,
steps.
It made me think of Katie June. I didn't look it up. But I have a mom at home who's a nurse. So it was similar.
Yes.
Right?
Good.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm so not making this up, nor should I maybe jest about it. But I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm working, and I look over, and my mom had gotten up and was getting ready, doing her thing, going to bed. But I thought maybe she had made toast, and she had not. I'm like, do you smell toast? I mean, like, did you make toast? That smells really good. Did you make toast? And she's like, huh? She came out from the back of the house. No? And all of a sudden, I froze. And then I sat there, and then we giggled a little. Because, you know, nervously.
Yeah.
You do, as you do. And then I'm like.
A-E-I-O.
And I'm shaking things out. And I thought, that was weird.
Oh, my.
And then not 10 minutes later, I'm like.
You sell toast again?
Buttered toast. What is that? Nothing. So I may have had a
TIA?
Maybe. I don't know.
You should go to the doctor.
Everything is seemingly fine.
Follow Katie around. She finds doctors everywhere.
Right.
Good ones. So test me for anything I want.
God is my witness. It was the strangest thing. It was like, because it was deliciously hot buttered toast.
Mm. I enjoy some buttered toast.
So I just want to throw that out. I also sent Aaron a text that said, you know, I haven't rewritten my will. Just let mom know that you need a little cash and that you get my car. And
maybe
I
put maybe my initials. Because
I really did think I was going to have, I was having a stroke. I wasn't sure what was happening.
That's so, scary McGarry.
So
my
what
friend.
I'm going to say is just love you all to death.
Oh, okay. Good.
Well, what literally. What I would like you to do is if you're ever in that
hold
state
both arms
again.
Like this.
What are you doing?
Go. Okay. You're good.
Oh, because she follows directions?
No. If you, and the best part
that's
is,
a, that's a life skill.
Is, I fill out this form every day at work, and I don't know what it's called. But I know. Go like this. All right.
So
good.
You mean if you can do that? Then...
Yeah, then you're okay. But if your arm drops, then you...
Uh-oh. Oh.
That's how you... Yeah.
Don't start, June.
And the most,
don't
the
start.
Most embarrassing part is if you I never down, remember what it's called. Like, if well, someone says, do you know stroke. How to do that test? I'm like, no. But then they're like, I'll ask people to do it. They're like, you know you're doing the test. I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. I don't know what's
well,
called.
Well, because it's about speech, right? And yeah. Yeah, about, like, if you start walking and you just fall down, that's not a good sign, I heard.
But at that point, you're a bit. You like,
in general, it's not a good sign.
We'll do right.
You're thing. Just drunk.
Puff out your cheeks. Smile. Bit with your teeth. There you go.
we're really testing me for a
drunk
stroke?
Test. Yeah, now do you put both arms out in front of your head. And both arms out. All right, you're good.
Good. I just
doing
like
all
toast.
Of them too, just in case.
We have come to the conclusion. I just like toast.
Now, you know what I feel like I should do? In a minute, I'm going to take a break and go make toast and freak her out.
Fuck with her.
In all sincerity, it was so hysterical. Oh, she, I okay, and the dogs, fine.
Oh, Aaron.
My mom
Aaron,
will
honey,
let you take them.
Ernie, honey, no one's fighting you for the no, dogs.
I was yeah. actually going to interject that I do not want custody yeah. of the dogs.
The lawyer's going to walk down to your house. Right.
No, but it was so odd, and so then I'm looking around thinking, how does she not smell it? So it was, to me, now, very funny.
And I've also heard in different places that people smell oranges, too.
I have heard that.
I've heard that before, too, that there's a...
I did not.
Yeah, but it all happens.
Lemons are lovely.
I'm sure they
yes.
are.
So, otherwise...
You have definitely made a lemony what have you. I might need
I
to
do.
Taste it.
Well, you can try it. It's not... I wanted it to be more effervescent-y.
She's trying to starve, stave off scurvy.
It's,
Wow, is she doing a good job.
Well, it's limoncello.
Oh, yeah.
And then just a little sparkling mineral water, but I...
With lemons and lemon heads.
And lemon heads. I yeah. dropped some lemon heads.
Right.
I
would, lemon flavor. And he's got the simple lemonade in the fridge. What are you, to
what are
dying
you
to get rid of.
Fighting off. What are you doing?
No, I don't know. I just need a stroke.
Are you having a craving all of a sudden for lemon stuff? Is that what it is?
No.
Is it a homemade limoncello of any kind?
No, but I've had that, and it burned my entire mouth, and then tasted delicious after.
I've had two kinds. Yeah, I had one kind that tasted a lot like kerosene. And I drank some kerosene just to test. And the
I was
going to
ask how that flavor test went.
Sure did. I was
and
like,
then
oh,
I went out and licked the kerosene lamp to make
right.
sure I had
was
the
that
right
after
taste.
You quit smoking? I'm hoping so.
It's got a piquant after dinner taste. Reminiscent of kerosene.
I just licked some kerosene and light up the smoke.
Almondy. Maybe and that's
and
not
a,
good.
Oh, I can't think of the word. What's in lighters?
Butane.
And a kerosene and a butane lighter.
Butane.
Now, I was at a dinner party once and the chef made limoncello.
Made kerosene?
And it was like a frozen, maybe. It was like it was like a very frozen-y, slushy kind of thing. Is that
in this mug.
And oh my God, it was
good
so
limoncello
good.
Is good.
Oh my God, it was the best, one of the best things I've ever had.
This
and Kelly
just
doesn't
a
drink.
Cheaper limoncello.
So I got to drink Kelly's as well. And after the first one, I was like, anyway, everybody. And Kelly was like, maybe just not more. And I'm like, just give me yours.
Have you ever
and
seen Danny
literally
DeVito
about 5 minutes
on
later?
The View?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
With limoncello?
He was doing shots of limoncello with George Clooney, and then he went
bad.
On The View. Yeah.
It's
and
really
he was
bad.
Fucked up.
But
really
like 5 minutes after I drank the second one, I hit Kelly on the leg, and I'm like, leaving now. Immediately from the dinner party. I gotta go.
We gotta let lemon in.
Yeah.
Lemon in.
It was bad.
So anyway, delicious.
I love limoncello.
So last week, I had this weird scurvy-like craving for cucumbers. And I wanted Greek food, and I wanted tzatziki, and I wanted cucumber water. And I went and bought cucumbers. And I was making, I brought Greek salad. I had them pick out the olives, and I got Greek dressing. And I put it, I was making pitas at home, and I was eating cucumber after cucumber after cucumber. Sure. And by Wednesday afternoon, I was like the Oompa Loompa girl. And I almost had to move from my house because of the problems that came out of me. It was awful.
We had to send you off to the juicer.
It was awful.
He found it.
Take it easy there, Violet.
It was one of those things where I was like, okay, this I could seriously power a jetpack across. You know what I mean?
God. You're turning cucumber, Violet.
She's got Mary Poppins' purse. I had her power. Let me tell you. What they did was they gave that bitch like six cucumbers and an umbrella, and she flew across London. It was so grim, and I couldn't explain it.
That is so bizarre.
So I was talking to my sister. We were talking about something. She wanted a Super Bowl t-shirt, so I went and I found her one. And I'm like, I've had this weird craving for cucumbers that just cannot be satisfied until right now as I'm driving across town in a gas-powered vehicle suddenly. And it was so wrong. And she's like, oh, and you know, what the fuck, Elfie down the street from her is like, she has the same problem all summer where she craves cucumbers. Then she farts her way into a new lifetime. And it was just the most uncomfortable.
I must tell you, I did not know that. Uh-oh.
I didn't know it either. And I've never had I've made it this many years without any kind of a craving for cucumbers.
Yeah, but I didn't know that it caused that.
I didn't either. But I don't think you're supposed to eat as much cucumbers as I did over the course of those 3 days.
Maybe so that's it. I wonder, too, like, I always wonder when I have a really serious craving, like a really genuine, like, craving for something.
What I'm missing. Lacking. Yeah, yes, my sister said the same thing. She's like, maybe there's something that's missing in your diet. And this was my third like stomach emergency the last 3 months. So this whole giving up dairy shit is over. Like there is no, I mean, not giving up dairy, but giving up milk. Because I've been doing that for like the last 10 months.
Or
this is my third stomach crisis emergency.
And since I have you've given it up.
Stomach of steel. Like I do not have stomach problems.
I just brought a gallon. So
I vomit after too much drinking and not enough eating. That's its own problem. But I have never had this many food-related problems.
You mean while you're drinking milk, your stomach is okay?
Right, because like my stomach is coated and ready for any emergency. Now, this is like
any emergency. Yeah.
This is the third time in like 4 months I've had a stomach-related problem. I'm like, you know what? We're going back on the milk.
Back to dairy.
Shit never happened
before.
That's
interesting.
And I never spent a whole day like a pregnant woman in a grocery store buying everything that had cucumbers in it and walking out like, is that a cucumber? I was crazed.
Well, and you ask like with lemons, I have I've been remarkably sleepy the last 2 days. Like for me, like it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and I mean sleepy. Like I was out most of Sunday, but not feeling sick. I don't feel sick. I just slept.
I've got that end of January blues though.
And
so that could be it too.
When you mentioned that earlier, I thought. Maybe that is what it is, which is silly because it's so weird. Beautiful here.
Well, and like 2 days ago, I was like, I have spring fever. I need to be outside all the time.
So I don't know.
Are you saying that your body doesn't actually know what it's craving, that it's just some weird like hormonal thing that you just go through cycles of like craving something? You're sitting, your thing auto-corrected a little bit, so I'm kind of confused. So then, but Matt Morosky came into town. We had a lovely dinner at Durant's on
Saturday.
Mm. And then all the old women retired to little Kevin's drawing room. It was seriously, we went to dinner at 6:15. We were at his house by 9:30, 10 o'clock, and you would have thought we were in a nursing home. Like, two people Kevin and Mac out in their pajamas, so that's where they were staying. Like,
how cute.
Chris couldn't stay awake on the recliner to have conversation with us, and is telling his husband, like, I know you don't have a driver's license, but you got to drive home. And I was like, kill me now and leave me for dead by the side of the road. It was exhausting. And I'm like, it's 10:30. And we were, and because you and Carlton were like, we want to come over. I'm like, you do not want to witness this. We do not need witnesses.
We wondered
to this
why
event.
We weren't getting responses back. And I'm like, well, apparently they passed out. I don't know what's going on with them.
Oh, it was funny.
Yeah, that was the other one. But we said, fuck it. We went on.
But it certainly was. And it was one of those things where, like, oh, they're having a party. No, you're just watching a bunch of old white people do their last gasps before they all resign to bed in the drawing room at 10. It was just sad. And then we tried to do a little brunch, but it was when somebody had family in town. Somebody wanted family to see family. So it turned into what should have been 4 or 5 people turned into 14. And it was lovely. We ended up at Tico's, which can easily accommodate that many people. They have a big booth. Yeah. Mm. It's not a big deal.
Not that busy.
No, but by the time we tried to go to the yard at prime time, and by the time we realized the yard wasn't going to work and we moved south to Tico's, prime time was over, so their brunch was coming to a close. But Tico's is still wonderful, wonderful food, and they were able
to
accommodate
that their
a
owner
big
wasn't
crowd.
Such a dick.
But they changed
that's
owners.
Another...
The woman?
No.
Yeah, they sold. They're not part of that same...
No, I know. The guy that currently owns it.
Oh, okay.
I know who you're talking
about. Is a total crack addict. And also a jerk. And I'll go on record.
Well, you did just now.
I was going to say, out loud.
Hand to God.
So is he partners with a woman?
I don't think the woman's involved any. I don't know which woman you're talking about. No, I just know the guy.
The woman, I know.
I thought that was the chef.
Off air, we'll talk about that more. I know the players in this game and how that all shook out.
I was introduced to a woman that was, because I know, you know, we all know the old owners.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Right.
And so when it went through, who I met of the partnership was a woman.
Yeah, and she is not there, I don't think, anymore. But
who
I don't
thought
know.
Was the chef. Yes?
I'm not sure. I don't pay a lot of attention.
Yeah, you're right.
So. Yep. You're lucky I asked questions.
She was fantastic.
Clayton McKee, what'd you do?
Well.
What'd you do?
Put him up. Well, going off of what Kat Carlson had said about the spring fever, I felt like I needed to spend some time outside, so did. Mow the yard, trim things, clean things up, organize, you know, carports, you know, things that you need to clean up and do. So I'm getting in the mode of spring cleaning, because what I'm about ready to do is tear through this whole house, and I've decided that every drawer and every cabinet has to be gone through.
Yes.
Because I live alone. And aside from when you guys show up, I use like two mugs and maybe a water bottle here and there. I don't need all the shit that I've got. So we're cleaning house. We're going to leave the cabinet with all the wine glasses, so don't fear. And all those mugs can stay in the freezer from now on if you care
for. Because I have a new beer. They're going to live in the freezer now.
That's fine.
Various bowls and sundries.
No, we need all those.
Right. But
I noticed in the kitchen.
The 12 years of stolen beer glasses from various bars maybe need
to. No, I've returned most of those to all of their original. Yeah. I mean, nice. The story was, remember, I took 24 glasses back to Charlie's in a case and said, put these back in circulation. Yeah, they're like, where'd they come? Don't ask questions. Just put they're washed and ready to go. No, but I noticed in the kitchen,
Amnesty Day,
you know how when you get food to go and they send you all with all these utensils that you'll never use, because I won't eat their salad out of their fucking plastic fork. I want a real fork.
Right.
So, you know, you get all those little packages of the spork and the food and all that stuff. It's all prepackaged.
Uh-huh.
I have a whole fucking drawer of that stuff. Why? That needs to go.
If they're not open, give them to them for donate them. Because if you guys do school functions, you're doing picnics and stuff, you really need those. And to have a prepackaged one.
I would gladly hand those off to you.
That's really helpful when you're planning like outdoorsy events or people coming over for barbecues and you have.
Yeah, that is a good call.
Because nobody's coming over here for
kiddos,
that.
Right.
So that's part of the thing I was doing, spring cleaning, starting that whole thing. But the Saturday night, here's what I love. And I ranted about this. Well, I didn't really rant about it on Facebook, but I posted. I have obviously clients at our restaurants and bars, and some of them are very, very busy. And all of the staff, they're busy as well. And I understand that. People get, you know, they get flustered. Well, printers that we use for receipts, and I know Kat and
like
and
printing,
they print.
Sure.
And they're very easy to open.
Kind of in the name.
You change out paper, you do things, you know.
Right.
Well, if they're ever difficult to open, what is your first thing to do? Well, get a screwdriver and pry the motherfucker open.
That's exactly what I thought.
No, that's not what
that's
you
not
do.
The right answer?
No.
I was going to say hit it.
I had it.
So what?
Take a big old fist and thump it on the top.
I get a text message on Saturday night, and I'm already half in the bag because I'm already partying with Carlton.
Half?
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah,
parenthetically, all the way.
I get a call. No. We weren't all the way. We were
grabbed the bag.
Yeah.
See through.
How big was the
little
bag?
Little bag.
Yeah.
Parenthetically, yeah. Gallon size Ziploc, freezer bag.
I can see you through the bag. So I get a text message that a printer's broken and a plastic piece fell out. And I'm like, well, send me a picture.
How mysterious.
And they're like, well, can you get us a printer by tomorrow for brunch? And I'm like, well, let me see the piece that broke first. Like, I can get you what you want, but I'm going to need a little something here.
Let me murder She Wrote This.
Right. Yeah. Well, upon seeing the picture, I realized, well, this didn't fall out of anywhere.
This was murder.
It was murder. Yeah, exactly. Keith Morrison was going to show up and do an entire dateline about this whole thing. So I get there, and yeah, they had totally murdered a printer, yada, yada, yada. But
I want to know who.
I just was so annoyed with, why is your first instinct to grab some steel something and pry open a printer? Oh my God, now it doesn't work at all. No fucking kidding.
Yeah, you just broke it.
I'm tempted to quote Jurassic Park 3, violence and technology, not good bedfellows. Oh no, that's Jurassic Park 2.
Mm-hmm.
Violence
mm-hmm.
and technology.
Anywho, we got there, assessed that, and then Carlton and I, because he drove me there, and we assessed the damage and moved
unlikely
on.
Good
and
choice.
Then we went on a bar tour. This is what we thought was going to be a good idea. We started downtown, and then we thought, well, we're going to go to BS because we've been there in forever.
Oh, sure.
We had the most horrible time.
Why?
I literally drank half a drink and left because the music was horrible. It just, everything about it was not what we remember as BS. It's all gone. Wait, it's all over and gone.
What was the music? That's sad.
Horrible. It just was horrible. Well, first of all, they had, you know, the four-story parking structure that's beside that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, when we pulled up, the music was so loud. We're like, is there a car in here that's playing that music? And we're like, we don't know where it's coming from. So we walked down, and they had a supplemental speaker on that patio aimed.
Oh, my gosh.
So loud that literally when you walked up to the door person, you couldn't talk to them. She's like looking at me like, I'm like, this is fucking stupid. And then what's-his-name was standing there. I'm like, this is really stupid. This is horrible.
Which what's-his-name?
The ginger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I found out that after we left and ranted, they turned the speaker down. And
that's
may have taken
bad.
It down.
Yeah, that's
it
was horrible.
So then we decided, well, screw it. We're already on a tour. So we went to other places that we never go. We went to Roscoe's.
That's fun.
You started downtown, went to BS, Scottsdale, and then came back to Roscoe's.
No, screw it. We're going to go back to Central
BS
Phoenix.
West,
because
like, full and happening?
No.
It was just
and
loud.
I appreciate your optimism that you want this story to come out good
I
for
like,
that.
I really want BS
not.
To be great, because I just not. Like remember my days of right. going well, there. And it ours was great
were,
fun.
And ours were even better than your days.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. The older you get, the better our days were.
Oh, no.
So then we went to Roscoe's, which I thought Saturday night was going to be
D-A-Z-E.
Happening. Like, I figured all the boys... No. Seven. There were seven people and three were staff.
Stop it.
Oh, no. Saturday night, everyone's at two places.
Okay.
Yeah. Which and you two? Can guess.
Stacy's and Charlie's.
Right. So we had a shot there and we thought, well, let's push it. Let's go to Cruisin' 7.
Yes.
So we went there and I didn't finish my drink, but I didn't realize when Carlton and I got separated in that bar, he had done multiple drinks and shots, but failed to tell me this.
Oops.
So then we said, screw it. We'll go back to Charlie's. Where he just went off the deep end there. And I'm like, oh, now I see where we're going. So he walked home.
Good.
Yeah.
That's
I stopped drinking.
A wise choice.
I stopped drinking and
Welcome
brought his,
Charlie's. That's really
his
your
car
best
here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a big whirlwind tour with that.
A fully day of eating for both.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Good times. Great oldies. It was a fun week. And then, you know, some work stuff fell into place. So apparently we're going into our second hospital for work, the Oasis.
Oh, I thought you and Carlton. I'm like, well, good luck.
No. No, for work.
Well, every gracious. Rehab's a try.
No, for work. We're going into our second hospital. Are you familiar
so
with Oasis?
Exciting.
On is it a spine?
A surgical center.
Yeah, that's what we're going
that
into.
That is for really their, awesome.
So things
are
just bubbling
it.
And happening. Things are going all over the place.
Hey,
I'm
Don.
Very excited. Hi, Don.
Hi.
Don in Washington. Is it snowing? Were you
I, I had a job. I very rarely talk to people on planes or in public. And
or just in general.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She talks a lot in general.
Here.
And it was funny to get like a job offer on a plane. I'm like, want to come do this? And I'm like, no, not so much. I don't like walking people, so me and surgery is not going to happen.
Oh, sure. No. We're going to get away from that.
I want them intubated in a coma. Nice. That.
Yeah, and that's even his friends. Okay.
Hey, I like you all better that way.
About a quarter in front of the hour. We've got a little time left in hour one. We're going to come back with headlines right after this.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
This is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
All righty, here we go with some headlines. Kicking off this segment of the show right here from Hugh Talk America. And it goes something like this. A burglar drops in.
Sally Kern is a cunt.
I'll take a sandwich and $6 million, please.
Kids, it's National Chocolate Day.
The aliens made me do it.
Local chicks are better.
In dog we trust.
In Joni Ernst we don't.
And what are you going to do? Bulldoze the house? And a bonus story, Sarah Palin is number one. These and more things coming up right here. Too. Oh, that last story was a bonus because it showed up literally minutes before airtime. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I just have her stumping for Hillary.
Okay. Okay. Right. Here we go. In Houston, authorities say a man's plan to break into a Houston store fell through, literally, after he crashed through the ceiling and landed directly in front of the police, who were called there to investigate a suspected burglary. Houston police say that a man climbed a tree and onto the roof of a Family Dollar store early Sunday morning, then managed to break a hole in the roof and into the building. But after making his way into the store, the man fell through the ceiling just as a police officer arrived in response to a call about, yes, again, a potential burglary. KHOU-TV reports that the officer ordered the unidentified man to stay on the floor. The man was later arrested, and authorities believe that the man was there only to try to steal cigarettes.
Or dollar-priced items, in general.
Only 99-cent cigarettes is going to be my guess.
Correct, I would think.
Yeah.
Oh, Sally Kern.
Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
She's a cunt. A cunt, I say. And our friend Chad at Who's He What's It's is the one who posted this. And I was so excited that he just put she is a cunt on his Facebook page that I had to.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar with Sally Kern at all?
I am not.
Mr. McKee?
I am not.
She's an Oklahoma State representative.
Oh, now I am. Okay. Now we're on board.
Okay. She says gays are terrorists.
Ooh, I like it.
And she has filed three bills targeting gay marriage. She is the grim reminder that evil still plagues this world. And the three bills that she has proposed would make it illegal to use taxpayer funds or government salaries to license or support same-sex marriage. It would make gay conversion therapy legal for all adults and children.
Well, hopefully it's mandatory.
And.
Hopefully.
Totally. Yeah. And totes would allow.
Manned.
Do they have a conversion therapy she can attend?
And wouldn't that be something? Twat. There are three people that could be there in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Aylin, Bachman, Kern.
Yeah.
Four. Ernst.
And sounds like a law firm.
Business, it does. And the third would allow businesses to refuse gay customers. We've heard this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not new.
Religious freedom bill.
They are the preservation and sovereignty.
The preserving.
The preserving. That's what she calls it. After
that's a preserving.
Get her done.
Preserving and sovereign.
Okay, I don't understand that sovereign word, but I'll be busy preserving.
I'm all about preserving and sovereign. These days,
the reserve and sovereign.
Good God.
Due to time constraints, I'm just going to conserve
them. Sovereignty of the Marriage Act and the Freedom to Obtain Conversion Therapy Act. Really?
Wow.
Obviously, the third measure allowing the refusal to provide services to the gay community. She is famous for her remarks on how homosexuality is a greater threat to America than terrorism. She says every day our young people, they're bombarded with homosexuality as normal and natural.
I want to be bombarded by homosexuality. Can I say that?
I know.
I'm missing this boat.
It's something they have to deal with every day. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with the terrorist attack
bombarding?
Every day. Cunt. C-U-N-T.
What was that line? We don't have to deal with a terrorist attack every day.
It says, fortunately, we don't have to deal with the terrorist
because
attack every
day. Because
we're
on watch. It happens all the time.
No, dumb she's a terrorist.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean, she says. It's more dangerous. And yes, I think that it's also more dangerous because it will wear and tear down the moral fiber of this nation.
Get some new cloth.
I just
want
to know, like, there when someone is that crazed, there is something
in
your closet.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Marcus Bachman.
There is something in your past. I just feel like there's...
It's fear.
But
there's something else. I just think that there's, like... She had, like, a lesbian sex dream one time.
I think it's the fear of... It's exactly what...
No,
and she's not bright enough. She's too impressionable. And too uneducated. She just heard some scare tactic and now she's just waving her flag saying enemy.
And she is genuinely terrified because she doesn't have the education or the security in herself.
What you're saying. I just, it's so like unfathomable to me that's a reality that I feel like there's something else.
But if you were to go to some of those churches that vomit.
That's hatred.
And you're growing up in that kind of an atmosphere. where, whether it's at home, and then at church, and then at school, and then everywhere, and your community shuns homosexuality.
Right. And they go to homeschooling. They go to everything. Right. All they do is they make their world smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right. And make everything outside of it scarier and scarier.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that.
That's why they can't go to college, because you might meet other people.
You also see so many people that are this outspoken. Oftentimes, there's some skeleton in the closet. Yeah. There's and a weird fetish over here, or they're abusing children. I'm not saying that she's doing this, but this happens, right?
Or she's been exposed to something strange.
There's something about the self that makes you so vile about it.
It can't be, because we have Michelle Bachmann.
No, they're all over the place. They're everywhere.
But it is that whole
but
thing
of
like...
But a lot of people do love to when stuff like this happens. There was an Alabama article as well, when gay marriage was passed, that they were going to, whether straight or gay, anyone that gave out a marriage license, they were going to arrest them. The governor said arrest.
What state was that?
Alabama.
Oh, okay. Oh, Alabama. This has been a shitstorm. I didn't realize how bad it would be until Alabama had their ruling got changed. They didn't issue a stay immediately, and then it all went south so fast.
No pun intended.
Yeah, game again in 2015.
You got to throw something game at Mark once in a while.
It's the game again.
Yeah. But you had to...
The game
the
again?
Stay that's came a cat. Out, the stay came out like 2 days later, and now you have the judge in Alabama with the monuments on the lawn saying... No, that ruling was only about that one couple.
I said the governor. My bad. It wasn't the governor who said
it was the arrest. No, but I didn't hear the arresting, but this judge, who was the one that wanted his commandments on the lawn, is saying, no, that only applied to that couple. It doesn't apply statewide, and that no one has to issue them. So they're going to do the whole Alabama Selma thing again of like, all right, you sued, that one person can go to school. Everybody else, we're fighting.
Yeah. And where did I see, too, and it was in one of those states that I can't... I don't know. It was a southern state. I literally saw it today where someone had taken to, you know, there was like graffiti that said, say no to gay marriage, kill them all.
Right.
That's passed by my Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw
marriage equality.
It was something. And
they spelled marriage M-A-R-A-G-E.
But what I love about those, and we'll talk a little bit about it later about some other things, is that it was used as a really great, I mean, as a fundraiser. Like, I love that shit, right? And it was used as such an amazing fundraising tool. They, like, throw that out in an email blast, and they, you know, just money just comes pouring in.
Yeah.
So it's, like, such a great way to rally against the cause.
And that topic is going to come up with, I don't know who said it, but one of those stories.
I love it. I love the article so much.
Anyway, but it just... crazy, crazy, crazy stuff with when there's that much hatred that she is...
I can't imagine what your life is like when you have nothing but that.
It's sad.
You live your entire life in fear.
Yeah.
That is, I can't imagine that.
You can't watch TV. I mean, truly, what she's saying, you're bombarded by terrorists.
Right.
If you want to turn on anything, because every show, I mean, if you want to watch The View, simply to see, you know, like...
Nicole Wallace, because I love her.
But maybe you want to see Nicole Wallace.
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell sit right there.
Rosie O'Donnell, and if they ever have that Mario fucking Cantone on, I can't handle him.
Oh, I'm
fine. But I'm just saying, you can't.
It's Mario.
And they've in the past, I don't know, month or so, they've been having, I can't think of her name, co-host with them in place
Laverne
of Whoopi.
Cox.
Laverne Cox.
Oh, sure.
Laverne Cox has been there.
My God.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so now
she's bombarded.
But
let me tell you, Barbara Walters, I know the Will Cates-er. She got Laverne Cox hosting a talk show.
I know. That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
That's cool. I didn't realize that. I don't have that DVR'd right now.
She had two black women for years. Like, Barbara Walters is ahead of the game and working in women
and
diversity. Like,
I have to tell you, I didn't realize he didn't like her. I don't know why.
Oh, he hates her.
Oh. There's a long list of people Will Cates.
Well, no, but
yes,
you know, I mean,
that's true.
I'm annoyed by Oprah. He hates Barbara.
Got it. Sorry, Ann.
Tomato.
Well, moving on, a Massachusetts man who bought a pair of lottery tickets at a grocery store simply to break a $100 bill for lunch has ended up winning $10 million.
Oh, I hate him.
Asshole.
Lottery officials announced on Thursday that Richard Knoll and his wife claimed the prize. At lottery headquarters this past week, he chose
He
chose a one-time payment of $6.5 million after taxes.
Oh, I can't think about this. Can't listen.
The winner says if you take your headphones off, you're still in the studio with me, dumbass.
I just realized
you can hear me.
Yep, no, got that now.
All right, so the winner says he needed to break a $100 bill to get lunch at a sandwich shop, and we've all been places that won't accept anything larger than a 20.
And I'm always walking around with a $100 bill that nobody else.
So he bought two $20 Platinum Millions instant tickets at the store in East Boston. And the store gets $50,000 bonus money for selling the winning ticket. Noel says that he wants to buy a house, make investments, and take his granddaughter to Disney World.
Aww. Take me to fucking
Crazy.
Disney World.
All you want to do is break it up, and you chose to buy two instant scratch game tickets. And boom, millionaire.
Follow-up question. Is she vaccinated?
Doesn't say anything about that.
Second follow-up statement.
It's Disney World, not Disneyland.
They're coming for you.
I believe that
the mouse has got it.
My earlier stated hashtag might be a little hateful, so I'm going to amend that to fucking Knowles, not fuck the Knowles, because felt like it was a lot hateful, but now I just...
A lot hateful. Now you're just down to hateful from a lot hateful.
We'll see if we can't clean that up in post-production, Kat, for you. Thank you very much.
Don't clean it up. I don't know the Knowles.
Fuck them.
Yeah, seriously. I say fuck
those people. I don't know them.
They don't know my life.
I'm back to my original statement.
You don't know me. You don't know my life.
I'm just keeping it real.
I'm sure you are. What in gay hell are you pulling
off? Is it my birthday?
Things that I like.
I feel like it's National Chocolate Day or some such of a thing.
Try to add that all or just...
Can I just eat it?
Yeah, let her lick it. Can I lick the foil?
Yep, you can do that too.
Every time I say that on a date, they leave.
I can't imagine.
We should go out.
All right.
I don't know what to... We should go out.
I live for that kind of talking.
Here's some more foil licking.
I'll let you lick the beers, the foil, whatever you got.
Go ahead, sir.
He licks windows, foil. He's a hit.
Lick the shit out of it. Do what you gotta do.
Looks good in a helmet.
Please give him my card.
Looks good in a helmet.
There you go.
That's fantastic. He licks windows. He looks good in a helmet.
Stop already.
He wears a strap.
Today is National Chocolate Day. Have some.
Oh, is this a story you're going to read?
Yes.
Go.
It's National Chocolate Day.
Oh, that's the ship. Holy shit.
Yeah. It may not be nationally recognized, but it's celebrated by chocolate lovers everywhere.
Oh my God, I just got the whiff of it.
You can bake a chocolate cake, buy one, eat it all yourself,
this
or share
piece
it with
right
family
here.
And friends.
Is that what we are? Family and or friends?
And or friends.
Oh my
Sir
God.
Or ma'am.
So it is a dark chocolate love of
surprise. Was I supposed to pass this around?
No, that's all yours.
Three more licks and I'll be able to see my reflection.
You won't be happy.
With dark chocolate. No, I think I got milk chocolate frosting.
Just not pleasing for the eye.
Well, the mirror has a different reflection in it.
In America, chocolate was consumed primarily as a beverage until the 1830s or 40s. Cakes, as we know them today, did not exist.
What the fuck was wrong with Americans?
I think it's wrong.
Fuck that time period.
Fuck them.
Hashtag.
So the chocolate cake was born in 1765, which I think we should all write down and celebrate. Mm. When a doctor and a chocolate maker teamed up in an old mill. Now, I feel like... I feel like this is you put your chocolate in my peanut butter.
I feel like we're mid-Limerick here.
They broke ground up cocoa beans between huge millstones to make a thick syrup.
I like that there's a vague accent. By the way.
This is the most sexual story we've had.
Right?
Ground up cocoa beans.
The liquid was then poured into molds shaped like cakes, we'll call them. Do you like the accent?
I enjoy the muddled accent,
thank
yes.
You, thank you.
The muddled.
They were meant to be transformed to a beverage. Years later, a special dessert was created for the prince in the 1800s by an Austrian chef. He used two layers of chocolate dough with jam. You spread in the middle. Chocolate frosting was then poured over the dessert. Hence, the birth of the chocolate cake. The first box cake was created by a company called O'Duff & Sons in the late 20s. O'Duff. I don't even know what to do with that.
Oh, Duff. Yeah.
The first just
well,
add
when you
water,
think going down on chocolate, you're thinking Duff.
Oh, Duff.
Oh, Duff.
Oh, Duff.
The first just add water Betty Crocker cake mixes were released in 1947. Enjoy
those
your
are some
day.
Lazy ass bitches. The war was over. Make a fucking cake.
Chocolate cake.
Oh, women Marty. Didn't have time.
Thank you, Marnie.
Well, we're going to enjoy our
okay,
cake.
Well, we're not done. We also have double chocolate Nantucket.
Motherfucker. Yeah.
And the Nantucket is for today for the people in Nantucket that are having a hard time, so we should eat chocolate
Snowmageddon
in there.
15.
Snowmageddon
15. And why do I feel like there's going to be a story that Katie's going to share with us?
Well, she should.
Another one.
The sadness of no power but still have batteries.
Ironically,
she was
also named Snowmageddon
Nantucket.
But I still have D batteries.
It's here for the D cells. Thank you very much. All right, kids, it's the end of hour one. Hour two coming up. Drinking Word coming up right after this crossover. We're going to continue with headlines. And then we've got everything that we always give you, which is entertainment, sports, and we're going to shit on Kat Carlson's segment about stuff. And
yes!
Then Al will ask us uncomfortable questions about sexual things later. We'll be back in just a moment or two right here on Q Talk America.
Boy, howdy.
Worst cake I've ever had.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Once again, we are back. It's a little after our 8 o'clock hour here in Studio C, Q Talk America. It's the beginning of hour two, and what we do is we start with our drinking word and a disclaimer, and it goes something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Hand to God.
Our drinking word is fuck that.
Oh, it's a phrase.
Where does that come from? Is that Latin?
Watch, Katie, watch and learn. Watch and learn.
Oh my God, this is so good.
Fuck that.
All right, we are not stoned.
Wow, seriously.
I like how Kat's trying to fix the icing by
just. She's not fixing it.
Yeah, well, she's taking some.
Not
yeah,
fixing totally. Shit, no.
Oh wow.
My God, this cake is so good.
Also, this comes with the oldest recipe ever for a chocolate cake on here. Which I thought
add
was...
water, put in pan.
No, it's like a lot of
lock
cream.
Lock that girl outside.
Cream and butter open and box. Powdered sugar.
Does it have
and...
to do with grinding things at the mill with the whatever his name was?
Oh, yeah.
No. Uh-huh. Go to the mill.
I initially thought the cake was just to make us shut up, and then I listened to Marnie read the entire article, and I went, oh, yeah, that was. That's true. Yeah.
To make a shut up.
I believe that was the least the interrupted that probably so. An article's
know, totally.
Ever been.
Probably
I'm,
so.
I'm just going to...
You got to bring cake.
I need to know what the name of that frosting is and how I can get it injected into my veins.
Oh my God, right?
Dunkin' how Hot.
Because licking the foil was funny at first, but then it became it a medical
Dunkin
necessity.
I feel like it's Dunkin' Hines double fudge chocolate.
Was. I don't think
that's my guess.
It's double something.
No,
it seems milky. Though.
You're double
milk
something.
It's milk chocolate.
I feel like I milk something.
It's milk chocolate. The cake. Dark chocolate.
Fuck that.
Fudge.
Yeah, fuck.
It's so moist.
You know, I've had this taste in my mouth before.
Show me on the doll where the taste comes from.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yummy.
But only if it's in the front.
Nope.
Fuck that.
Fuck that. Oh, back to whiskey. Good.
Oh, right. My God.
And truly, if anyone needs milk, there's more.
I'm happy and angry.
Don't
it's a paper
it.
Plate.
I'm licking my paper plate.
My God.
I dip things in the cake. That's when you know you have a problem.
My
well,
God.
You have a problem, too, because you're eating out of a pan.
You are really... Did you
my
eat
last
today?
Birthday, we
no,
did that.
I actually was like doing a weird fast until now.
That now includes
like legit.
Chocolate cake. Out
fuck
of
that.
The
that's
fuck exactly. Fuck that, Katie. Good
fuck
for you.
I ate like egg whites all day, and now this is in my face.
And now the yolks. Now, the yolks are all up in
now
you.
Now there are egg whites in
yolks
you.
Up.
Oh,
it's
oh,
like, she's it's like, oh my God, I found the vodka.
The
it was hidden in the
you.
Orange juice.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, there it is.
Everyone's missing my bad puns.
I what? Well,
nothing.
Okay.
Oh no, we don't miss them.
Yep.
No, exactly.
Wow. Strike. That's one for Kat.
No. No. What you should dip that cookie in that frosting,
no,
bitch.
I'm
what are you doing?
Enough. I'm fine.
Well, let me help you enjoy it more.
What? The icing or the hip, the fatness? I don't know. Which one. Okay, got it. Sure.
Hey guys.
Hey, cat.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Headlines.
Oh.
Oh. Fuck that. Listen to her try to redirect the show.
Well, I feel like I should have red wine for this.
Police say a couple.
Wow. You've been saving that for a long time.
Sure, she has.
God,
and I hope she gets that job with that morning show.
Yeah, exactly. No,
it's because your cat segment.
I need more space.
She won't have time to be with us anymore because it's a morning show.
Especially if you start dipping the cookies in the chocolate, you're going to need more space.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Last thing I'll ever
do. It's just a scientific hypothesis.
You better hope I don't have a
stroke. Hey guys. Knock, knock.
Jesus, shut up.
All right.
Fuck that.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Fuck that.
Damn it, that was my punchline. Asshole.
Oh, a vulgar twist on an old classic. Joke. All right, read your shit.
So this bitch can redirect, but I can't do it with a joke?
No.
I went direct.
Not twice.
Oh, well, police say a couple broke into a theme park that was closed for the off-season near the South Carolina-North Carolina line.
I saw that movie.
And the woman told investigators that God and aliens directed her to do so.
Oh.
York County Sheriff's deputies told local media outlets that Francis Green and Jason Lee were arrested Friday night after a security officer at the Carowinds theme park found their truck abandoned in the parking lot. The officer also found in the truck an 8-month-old boy.
Oh.
All alone.
Fuck that.
Oh my God.
The guard said that the couple returned after about 20 minutes. Green is charged with child neglect, filing a false police report, and trespassing. Lee is charged with child neglect and trespassing. Apparently, he didn't file the false report. It was not clear whether they had attorneys, and the baby was taken into protective custody. Neither God nor the aliens could be reached for comment.
Now, did the kid at least go to get to go to the kiddie section and ride like the Ferris wheel?
No, they left the kid
something?
In the truck.
In the car.
I know, but I hope that maybe they brought him in for part one and then left him there. Like, no,
apparently not.
Carowinds is fun because you can put one foot in North Carolina and the other foot in the Confederate flag. Mm. No, South Carolina.
And then one foot in the trunk. Apparently, if you're a small child.
In the boot.
Correct.
I've been watching British TV.
Sad
in the boot.
Pants.
In the boot.
Read your story. I'm going to go get some more.
Some more what?
Just don't worry about it.
Beverages. bring a bottle of wine back.
Do I know which one it is?
Sure. I think it's the only one.
Any of them.
Well, local chicks are better. And sure. If Meow Cow's
That's
listening,
what I thought.
Meow Cow might understand what I'm talking about. Because there is a place in Minnesota that has a name for their eggs called Locally Laid.
Oh, that's fun.
That's nice.
I'd like to be locally laid. Is that available?
No, that's why local.
Sponsored by Al Perkins.
That's
sponsored by Missy
chicks.
Al Inc.
Boom, that's chakalaka. Why local chicks are better. And it says it's Renshaw based Meow Cow. So if you know where that is, I do not. A customer wrote in after seeing "Get Locally Laid" on the eggs.
Oh, they were offended.
Oh, they were very offended.
Oh Jesus!
Are you
Fuck
ready?
That,
dear Locally Laid.
I haven't been laid in years.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that. I find your name on your egg carton extremely offensive, and your sexual innuendo and advertising very vulgar. Not only were they the highest prices in the store, but also the worst advertising. I will share this message with the owners of the grocery store and friends. We have enough crudeness in this world without egg advertising adding to it. I bought them in a hurry and will not again. That's my favorite part.
I bought them.
In a hurry.
Fine. So, apparently he's not real thrilled about the Get Locally Laid.
I love it.
I think it's hysterical.
Google
and
it
they
now.
Have, they truly have t-shirts that say local chicks
now there's,
are better.
We have a local story, if I could, if may
Please.
I just.
Well, are you done with that story?
Well, enough.
Okay.
It's no, being shit on, so she's done
exactly.
It now.
I wonder,
well, there was a response.
I'd like to limit our shit ons on stories today.
No,
why is really today different?
Because it's chocolate day.
Then we have a local business, Oregano's, that has a lot of double entendre
Very
signs.
Funny.
Yeah.
But people you'll hear people all the time that are offended by that restaurant.
Seriously?
Like, when you recommend it, like, I don't like their signs. Because the one is about meatballs in your mouth, or like.
Legalized marinara.
Legalized marinara. And the. You hear about it all the
people
time.
People are pissed about those? Uh-huh.
Very
Everybody
much
needs
so.
To chill the fuck out. They need to have some marijuana.
One says it's just oregano, officer.
Yeah, that's the new one I saw.
That's
it
awesome.
Was just
I
oregano,
like their
officer.
Signs.
Well, and,
so I'm done shitting, please.
No, I appreciate that.
Pray continue. Fuck that.
Meow-cow, this says that it is in
I like that you let
Renshaw.
People know when you're done. That's good.
Just Renshaw, friendly. And can I get more cake?
After the cucumbers, we never thought it would end. So, hey, we're good to see you stop to any part of it.
Hey, do you know Amundsen Farms, Meow-cow?
Not personally.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I never lived there.
Meow-cow.
No.
For
because, please.
Can I ask a question? Just yeah. side note, not please. Shitting on the story at all. For like the next celebratory day where you need gifts, I'm gonna apparently have to buy you like a case of paper.
No,
You go through a lot.
I'm fine.
All right, I'm just saying.
It's okay.
She looks at a forest and says, "Fuck that."
Maybe.
I'm just saying because mine's in a computerized document.
Yeah, I know.
Took him 3 minutes to come up with that word, computer.
Eyes.
Okay. In a.
Well, yeah. The response was they did a very thoughtful response.
Could you read it to us?
Well, it's far too long
in a British accent.
No.
Come
it's
on.
It's far too long. Not enough.
Go full
of us.
On Scotland Yard with it.
It says, "Thank you for reaching out and letting us know your opinion. Not enough of a stand up for what we believe, and they really are respectful."
That's
back.
Nice. That's new.
Those cunts.
And then they explain how they named their company. It's completely demonstrative of what we are. We are the first pasture-raised egg company in the upper Midwest, providing you with eggs which are laid locally. More on the sassy part of the name in a minute, but let's look at local. It's important. And like they really go through and kind of knock this guy out.
Cut the fucker down.
A little bit. Right. Yeah, the good
and
for
them. Eggs are laid.
The average food product in this country travels 1,500 to 2,000 miles from farm to producer. I mean, it really goes through. That's a lot of diesel burned and CO2 pumped in the air. Our cartons travel in a fraction of those miles. We've turned down lucrative contracts that would have taken our eggs out of the air. I mean, it really...
good for them.
The
so
idea,
they stood up. For, they did. They reciprocated, if you will.
Absolutely, absolutely. They talk about the fact that the reason they went with locally laid is, and they call their girls. However, we strongly believe that it's worth all that they go through for locally laid, and not selling out, basically. hens that forage and exercise on fresh pasture lay eggs with less fat and cholesterol and stronger yolk integrity. They're called salad eating poultry athletes.
Wow.
I thought that was awesome. That we sacrifice economies of scale by having small flock size. They talk. I mean, they really go through what
That's
all of it's
really
about.
Awesome.
And it's a good thing to learn about getting your poultry fresh. And if you know somebody that has chickens, which has become a kind of a thing here,
yeah,
in Phoenix,
it's a super
it
thing.
Really is, yeah.
is to get them. And mm-hmm. I heard actually from one of my friends that's actually raising chickens mm-hmm. was that the eggs are considerably lower in
that,
cholesterol because of how they're being fed.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And what I love is that they go through this teach. I mean, truly with. Charts as you
told. There's
love.
Charts. I love charts.
High charts. They're Clayton's all in. But and then at the very end. So to the point of your letter, I want to say you're right. Our name, locally laid, is totally like cheeky and pushes the envelope. And I'm truly sorry we offended you.
Oh,
I'd offer you one of our American-made local chicks are better T-shirts, but I don't think you'd wear it. But here's where we risk your umbrage. When our perfect. Double entendre breaks through the media clutter in which we're all steeped. We leverage it. With the second look from a consumer, we educate about animal welfare, eating local, real food, and the economics of our broken food system. We all vote with our food dollars every day, and we respect your decision if our playful moniker keeps you from buying our eggs. It was just important to me that you understood everything that was going on behind the name. Now I gotta ask, would you have learned all this if we were named Amundsen Farms?
Ooh. I like them.
Yeah,
very nice.
That's a big fuck off to
yeah,
you,
is
what that is.
But
I like
well,
it.
I mean, like,
now is she educated enough to see past a double entendre?
Probably
or even,
not.
First off, use the word double entendre correctly in a sentence. But second
right,
of all,
right.
to realize the importance of eating locally, probably
she's probably
not.
Friends
probably
with Sally Kerr, and that scares her and freaks her out, and she can't do
totally.
It.
Yeah. Well, totally. I don't want my daughter to ask me what's locally
What's it called
made?
Again? Anson?
Amundsen.
Amundsen.
Well, if you actually just look up locallylaid.com, you'll see their website.
Right, right, right.
I feel like that might be a dangerous .com.
It's not.
No,
put
it's
a link
not.
In the chat room.
It's Amundsen is A-M-U-N-D-S-E-N. Farms.
So okay. Here's what's actually really neat as well about their t-shirts. They are they're American made from American Apparel, which American Apparel has their own problems, but they're still an American company. They employ Americans. They use American products. With every shirt sold, they plant a tree.
Oh.
Wow.
And their t-shirt sales help support their small farm operation.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. So with every t-shirt, not American Apparel plants a tree.
No, 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 no. I'm sorry.
I'm like, that's a lot of fucking trees.
Got it. The farm does. Because they have their chicks, or local chicks are better with the little chick and the local lady.
I got you.
Oh, I agree.
So, and every, so they plant a tree with every shirt sold. They help support their small farm operation. So, like, this company is the bomb all around. And I am, and I, when, I mean.
And a well-worded fuck you letter. That is.
When I go to the store.
I look
for
that.
I look for, when I'm buying, in the very smallest way, when I'm buying eggs, I look for whatever carton is, like, the most local, like, the most, like, organic, farm-fed. I kind of, like, try to do that with the most
of the things
that I buy.
And mine is not in styrofoam, because if I touch styrofoam, my nipples go back into my body, and I
like, you can't do it.
I can't touch styrofoam.
Yeah, ours are plastic and cardboard, which are already recycled. And so I think this is
noise.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. The noise that styrofoam makes just makes my.
Yeah,
but
I
what
agree.
A cool, cool company. So good for
good.
Them.
Good.
I like them.
I like. Thanks for looking that up. Somebody put a link to their website on our page.
I will indeed.
Thank you.
Well, every episode of this show has to have a Florida story, and this is one of them.
Penis of America. America.
The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office in Florida has gone to the dogs. Well, at least the rugs have. Department spokeswoman Cecilia Beretta said Wednesday that a new $500 rug at the Sheriff's Administration Building said, "In dog we trust," instead of "In God we trust" on the rug there. The forest green rug with the sheriff's yellow badge was in the entrance area for a couple of months when the error was actually discovered. That kills me. It's there two months.
Right.
And nobody realizes, oh, did you just look at it? Did you just see the rug? It looks like some dog. Beretta. Those of a certain age will understand.
Yeah. Chirp, chirp.
Beretta says the error was made by the rug manufacturer and it is in the process of being corrected. A second rug did not have the misprint on it. The rugs were rolled up and put away. Now, my thought is, with this, why not take the rug? Because I'm sure they probably want to destroy the rug or whatever the hell. I say take the rug or rugs and make it a fundraiser. Why wouldn't you then make it, you know, sell the rug to the highest bidder and get, you know, the funds go to, I don't know, a dog. Because it says in dog, let it go to an animal shelter. If somebody wants to pay
money. Like a stamp printed upside down. You'll make money off that.
Yeah, make money off that.
I feel like only the gays get a sense of fundraiser in every opportunity.
I don't know.
I feel like that's a gay exclusive thing.
I think it's because I'm on so much sugar right now that I feel like helping people.
He's going to call it the Twinkie defense.
Diabetic Christmas. In a,
we're never digging all those words,
fuck
Eric.
That.
I just want to let you know about... Or perhaps you have a dyslexic friend at home that might enjoy the humor.
Yeah.
Or might not notice.
Or an atheist.
I honestly got the Depeche Mode song from the 80s Blasphemous Rumor. Because I didn't know what blasphemous meant, because I really didn't give that much of a fuck about God. So I didn't learn all the ways to offend him. So I thought the song about, and I don't want to start any blasphemous rumors. I thought they said, but I think that dog's got a sick sense of humor. And I was like, that's just a weird fucking line. So I remember I had to go to the giant dictionary in the living room and look up blasphemous. And I'm like, oh, that might be God. But just with the British accent, that dog's got a sick sense of humor. And I was like, well, it's a catchy little fuck that lyric. I don't get it. But even I knew not to sing it in front of people that something might be wrong here.
You might piss off a few people.
At least you had the presence of mind for
that. No, I would just look like an idiot if I was singing, you know.
Fuck the people. Last week we were here during the State of the Union address.
We were. Mm-hmm.
We were.
Oh.
And you know how at the end of the State of the Union.
Hashtag so too.
So too. At the end of the State of the Union address, there is a response.
This year there were five.
Well, there were definitely two. So we're going to go ahead and talk about those two. By the Republicans.
Are we talking about the English and Spanish one?
We sure are. Mm-hmm. We sure are. For the third consecutive year, the Republican Party, which this is an oxymoron in and of itself, official response to the State of the Union was actually split in two, one in English, one in Spanish, which just makes me fucking laugh. And by the Republicans.
Yeah, the people that want English only.
Right. Well, at least.
And now all the immigration things are going on. They're like, oh, no, no, we're going to reverse all this because Obama's overstepping his. Yeah, but let's do it in Spanish.
Because they want one Mexican voter. What? Right. I just need to shit on your
please,
party.
Please.
The blender's ready out there.
The pre-shit.
Did Marco Rubio the first year do it in English and then in Spanish? Did they use his bilingualism? Did they fuck that?
I don't know. Can you check that, Katie? Because I honestly don't know.
I don't know that he is bilingual, is he?
I thought he was.
But okay. I thought that's why he gave the first.
All I know about him is he was thirsty. Like I got stuck on the meme, too.
He was really thirsty.
He knows how to sneak a bottle of water on the shot without nobody noticing.
Right.
Or everybody.
Please pray continue, m'lady.
So, in theory, it was supposed to be very simple. Joni Ernst from Iowa, who likes to
castrate her
dog, right?
Same dog.
She would carefully craft a GOP response to President Obama's speech. And then Representative Carlos Curbelo, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Say Santana.
No.
No.
But we all know what the guitar riff would sound like.
Exactly. Well, that was a pig. But obviously, Curbelo, if I'm saying that properly, is out of Florida, which how can we not incorporate these things?
Yes.
That he would deliver the identical speech in Spanish. Could possibly.
He did not
go
do Joni
wrong.
Ernst's. Oh, shut the fuck up.
Well, it's a funny story. Let me go ahead. So the potential pitfall was a disagreement between Ernst and Curbelo about immigration reform. That was just a
weird,
tiny little thing. The right-wing Iowan cunt is a fierce... Maybe that's not written here. I don't know.
Maybe.
Not in the article?
Maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe it is.
And let me just discuss.
I enjoyed that artistic
maybe
liberty.
We'll change the byline later.
Maybe. She is a fierce opponent of immigration reform. Under the circumstances, it was ironic her speech was being delivered in two languages, since, you know, she's an English-only supporter.
Oh, I hate
while
her so
the Florida
much.
Republican was actually criticized, criticized his party for blocking bipartisan solutions. So the disagreement created some uncertainty. How would Republicans be able to deliver this in the two languages when they really
hate Mexicans?
No, but the one Mexican
brown
hates,
people in general
hates the Republican Party.
Yeah,
I shouldn't call him a Mexican. I don't know that he is.
He's probably Cuban. If he's in Florida,
right. Cuban,
yeah. Hispanics.
He does not believe in all of the same things of his
the whole thing
said
so
party. So as it turned out, they deal with it in the most cynical way possible. Anyway, Politico, whom is one of the many outlets that just kind of happened to notice.
Kind of happened.
Republicans
Oops, Google
sent
Translator.
Mixed signals. Republicans sent
that
mixed
story
signals on immigration in their two official rebuttals to President Obama Tuesday night. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst's rebuttal made no mention of the topic. But the Spanish language version of the rebuttal delivered by Florida Representative Carlos Curbelo said Republicans wanted to work with Obama to fix the immigration system.
Oh.
We should also work through the appropriate channels to create permanent solutions for our immigration system to secure our borders, modernize legal immigration, and strengthen our economy, said Curbelo in Spanish. In the past, the president has expressed support for ideas like these. Now we ask him to cooperate with us to get it done. So maybe they weren't expecting two different rebuttals, but that's what happened.
Wow.
I hadn't heard this story. Uh-uh. That's great.
House Republicans specifically told reporters in writing that Curbelo would deliver the Spanish language translated address of Joni Ernst's response. He'd have to change personal details, such as his own name, but otherwise it was supposed to be the exact same speech.
Oh, that shitty wandering speech was translated?
Uh-huh. Ernst, however,
worse
never
yet, it was
mentioned
written ahead of time
immigration at all.
Oh,
exactly.
My gosh.
Exactly. While Curbelo devoted a whole paragraph to the issue, an English-speaking audience heard Republicans overlook immigration, while a Spanish-speaking audience was led to believe GOP lawmakers actually want to pass immigration reform, which they don't. So they must have known that they would get caught, but based on their response, they don't really care. They said Ernst and her aides weren't available for comment and declined to speak earlier in the day about her speech. But top Republicans top Republican aides defended their decision to use different spokespeople to shape the same general narrative.
But, oh my God, but not the same at all.
Exactly.
Right. So, but the best part is, as
in previous years, State of the Union responses, Senator Ernst and Congressman Curbelo spoke of the GOP vision of common sense solutions and greater opportunity for everyone in this country, framed by their unique stories and experiences. So they were trying to say that was just his unique experience.
That she's going to all over. Yeah. If he ever brings it up in Congress, she's going to pull down her pants and take a dump on it while she castrates a pig and ties bread bags around her shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
If it sounds familiar, about 3 years ago, Dean Heller, didn't we talk? I believe we talked about this, actually. Dean Heller of Nevada created a campaign website with a separate Spanish language version. On the English language version, the Republican condemned amnesty and illegal immigrants, while on the Spanish language version, Heller conveniently forgot to include that same message.
It's called pandering. It's not a new thing.
No, yeah. but the
but
idea
that's pretty
that,
ballsy.
That is.
Well, yeah, especially when if they wouldn't. Who caught? Did anybody specify who caught this?
Politico and a whole bunch of other
they understand Spanish.
Fact finders.
I would never have caught it.
No, I wouldn't have either.
But why would you watch the Spanish language response?
All I speak is Spanish, then I'm listening and I'm like,
That's what I'm voting for. They're going to help me out. Oh, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
But and the Republicans are saying that they didn't know. And I think for me, that's the part that's like very interesting.
Well, they honestly don't know what the other hand's doing 99% of the time.
Yeah, they're not showing up to those meetings about message.
There weren't just do that.
There weren't just two responses. There was a Tea Party response. There was a fucktards in the back row response. I think if somebody Googles it, I think there were five responses.
Okay. I have no idea.
And none of them could respond because the economy's in good shape. Mm-hmm. Gas prices are low. Unemployment's low. Like, they're like, we need to fix... Oh, that's already... Oh, we don't... Oh.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly.
And then when they were like, all the things about kids and students, and Boehner just sat there in the back, like, making that face, like, no, you should actually applaud when he says stuff about doing things for children. Like, you can't sit there and making that fucking face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you happen to see him on 60 Minutes this past Sunday?
Oh, just stammering his way through that entire interview.
Well, they're like, he goes, well, my job during that speech is just to not make news. I don't make any facial expressions and don't make any reactions at all. That's what he said.
Sitting right
next to McConnell in that little interview, and I'm like, you both are fucking idiots.
Yeah, yeah, they are. And horrible. That tan.
In addition to the official Republican responses, Representative Kurt Clausen of Florida, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, and Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky all gave their own televised responses.
So there was four plus the Spanish language. The thing about Jody
Ernst... And they all differed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because
nobody shows up to the message meeting anymore. Yeah.
That they don't have one message. But the funny thing, and the thing that I couldn't get over about that speech was, first off, she took hundreds of thousands of dollars from the federal government on farm subsidies while she's now, vice rapist and priest in chief Paul Ryan got all that money from Social Security from the dead parent. Yeah. This one, her family, uncle, and family members take all this money and then turns around and says, like, you know, you're sucking off the teat when you're doing it. Right. And then she told that story like she was some kind of special about the bread bags on her shoes. I would like to just point this out to you, that in Niagara Falls, on a rainy, icy day, your feet are either cold, they're either warm or they're dry, but they're not both. We all did that with Wonder Bread bags or whatever bread bags we were. Every single kid that walked into their school, because your feet were meant to be warm, and when that slushy rain hit, you got out the bread bags and you wrapped them in until they made those ugly fucking duck boots.
Oh, yeah, those
where all of a sudden you either looked like a retard, and that was the appropriate word at the time.
Nice helmet,
exactly.
That is historically significant.
That is historically significant. That's how I'm using that word today. But you know what I mean? You look like a fucking duck, a ducktard. Is that better? Does that make you feel better? And I'm just like, you're not special, bitch. Every single person
Everybody's
in the 70s, the technology didn't exist to get you warm, dry feet. So bread bags, they're in there. You got them, man. You throw them on.
She's awful.
That story just made me seem like you're not unique, bitch. You're not a unicorn. Like,
no. You're just a
take
dumb
a picture
bitch.
Of all of us getting off the bus in the 70s. She's a unicorn. I do
you're
like
a pig castrator that lived in the
you're a pig fucker
suburbs.
She's awful.
Or the rural area, whichever. Yep. Oh my God! Well, let's go back to the lovely state where Al loves to spend time. A New York man has been arrested after bulldozing the home where he lived with his wife.
In it,
James Ryan. Oh. James Ryan rented an excavator on Monday on Martin Luther King Day and demolished the Middletown house. But police said
he had a dream.
Police said right. Police said that he failed to notify the homeowner.
Oops. Oh.
Or local utilities.
Ooh, that could end badly.
Record show
second story about gas in one show.
Record show that his wife, Diane Andershack, who's the registered owner of the house, and his wife, is listed as the sole owner of the property, and police said that
soon to be ex-wife
that he failed to obtain her permission before destroying the 840 square foot three bedroom ranch home. A neighbor said, quote, he bulldozed all her clothes in there, washer, dryer, furnace, hot water heater. Everything was still in there. In fact, her medications were still in the medicine cabinet.
Oh.
The neighbor also described Ryan as a loose cannon.
No, I won't even hear of it.
Ryan neglected to obtain proper permits or call utility companies to shut off gas, electric services, which had to be turned off by emergency crews to prevent an explosion. apparently, one of the neighbors said he could have blown the whole block up. Ryan said that the home was dilapidated and its foundation was crumbling from years of disrepair, so he decided to tear it down. He claims that he tried to obtain a demolition permit, but wasn't able to because the office was closed for MLK Day.
I tried today, and they were closed. I'm doing it anyway.
He also claims that he tried to call his wife to notify her about his intentions, but she didn't answer her phone. A neighbor said that
This man has never heard of calling back.
A neighbor said that Andershack arrived home to find the house reduced to rubble and in dumpsters and became very upset. But Ryan said that she has now discovered and they have made up. She's over it and we're good, he said. I'm a good husband. What else can I tell you? Ryan, who lived in the home for 3 years, denied that he needed his wife's permission to destroy their home with all of their possessions still inside. We're married and it's a community asset, he says. He has been charged with second-degree criminal mischief, a felony, and could face additional charges in the incident. Rain was previously arrested back in 2013 on harassment charges not involving his wife. He was released on $300 bond. Literally, Google that shit. He literally just leveled the house with the bulldozer.
I feel like this story is a week or two old. Yes,
I just saw it today
because I feel like I loved him earlier.
You may have.
But time flies.
Once upon a dream.
I love this story. He just. It's going. And well, clearly it happened on Martin Luther King's birthday.
Right.
I'm going to use clues
here.
Last
Monday.
Yeah.
It's about a week old now.
Yeah, okay. I feel like I read...
Investigative reporting.
Fuck that, Al.
Right here
on Q-Talk
America.
I feel like I murder, she wrote this story earlier. From the verb to murder, she wrote.
Our crack investigators.
Yes. All right, our bonus story.
Now we have a bonus story. This literally was emailed into me moments before we went on the air. Oh, my God, this is great. I bet that she wasn't planning on this, but Sarah Palin, our friend Sarah Palin, inadvertently gave herself a new title. This past week.
Oh, pig fucker? Unicunt pig
fucker? Co-chair.
Cunt in chief.
Shut up. Co-chair of readyforhillaries.com National Finance Council. Now, let me tell you.
Well, brevity is the soul of wit with this bitch.
Let me tell you how this dumbass did it.
Wait, does that abbreviate somehow?
Yeah.
Yesterday, there was an email that went out to Hillary, readyforhillarynow.com supporters telling how Sarah Palin, hang on, I gotta fix that, did that. Telling how Sarah Palin held up a Ready for Hillary car magnet during a recent speech. Here is said picture of her holding up the magnet. Wow. Got it?
Hey.
Well, what happened is the response that they got was overwhelming. Hundreds of supporters stepped up and for Hillary, and Sarah ended up raising for Hillary. ReadyForHillary.com over $25,000 in grassroots donations. Well,
we love a dumb cunt in this story.
Here's the kicker.
Let that money pour right in.
Here's the kicker. By raising $25,000, Sarah officially qualifies as co-chair of our National Finance Council.
Yes!
Now, readyforhillary.com says that they're going to wait for Sarah to call before they officially add her name to the list.
Oh, you got to do it. You got to do it.
Now, what we should do is to help Sarah raise even more money, go to readyforhillary.com and show Hillary that you've got her back by chipping in now. Oh my God.
That I haven't given to readyfortillary.com, but I feel like I want to now.
I feel like I really want to right now.
When I read that, if you chip in, if you go to readyforhillary.com and chip in $20.16 or more, they will actually send you your own Ready for Hillary car magnet, just like the one Sarah Palin held up in that press conference. Oh my God. The fact that she's so fucking stupid, she raised money and became.
I think that's
what was it again? It was
the co-chair
of our National Finance Council.
So she.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if you saw it, but the Iowa pig fuckers are having their Republican caucus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
I didn't get their whole name, but yes, fuck that, I said. Just make it up. So Sarah went up, and you know how Sarah Palin always makes fun of Obama for being the he reads off the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. She's always making fun of him being the teleprompter in chief and all those jokes. Well, turns out cunt-tard Palin is. Reading off teleprompters, her teleprompter went out. Oh, find this. It's all over the news.
Oh, yes.
Everyone went apeshit on her because
she now sounded like a fucking buffoon. Yeah,
She that helmet looks good on you, dear. That's what they were saying. She lost almost all support, and Republicans can't get away from her fast enough because all they have to do is show the Daily Show is just going to go nuts if they haven't already. I'm a couple days behind on the Daily Show, but if the Daily Show did not get a hold of all the time she makes fun of Obama for using a teleprompter, and then you watch her face as her teleprompter dies, and then the end of that speech about. Somebody can't ride you if your back's broken, so you need to do your core exercise. And somebody's like, is she talking about Pilates?
What?
She just wanders, and her speech is truncated by, like, the last 5 minutes are gone, and she ends up in Brokeback Mountain.
Like, I wish I knew how to quit you.
I wish I knew how to quit you, teleprompter. It was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. But it was, and now her biggest support. So Nicole Wallace was.
Hey, Aaron just put a link in the chat room for it.
The future ex Mrs. Dr. Ben Carlson.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bizarre improvised rant is what they're calling it.
So Nicole Wallace, who just hates her. Like,
I can't imagine.
It is just thinly veiled contempt. So she was on a panel on MSNBC, and they're like, well, you know, all things Sarah Palin, we're going to you. And she's just killing herself. Like, I had a political career before this bitch. Please, someone
save me. Please stop standing me next to her.
She was like, I was in my wedding when Katrina hit. I did not tell Bush to fly over, and now I got this cunt on my back. But if it was stronger, she couldn't ride you. So they get to her, and she says Palin's biggest supporter and the guy that always blamed her and blamed McCain for the way they handled Palin and saying if they had just let her go.
You mean
go,
didn't blame her?
Didn't You're blame Palin. Blamed Nicole McCain. Wallace
oh,
and McCain for everything that went wrong with Palin. They were saying if you would have just let her be herself,
she could have been
they would have won the election. And he's been her biggest supporter.
And who is this?
I can't think of his name, but you'll find him because anytime they show this clip now, one of the big things is like Palin's biggest supporter is like get her out of the Republican Party. Like make this stop. Because the speech is so quotable and so, what they did was
remark about how a man can only ride you when your back is bent.
It's just so fucked up. But it should have been like 5 more minutes of the speech, and she only gives this rambling analogy about a broken back or a bent back. Or
she was also seriously interested in a 2016 presidential bid, which I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, it wasn't right up until that speech ended. Because then she has to.
I know she was in Iowa, kind of stumping, but also
no, she was
Iowa's
at the
a
big,
testing ground. But she for
it was
candidates.
It was where they all went. Everybody who wanted to be president gave speech.
Everyone who wanted to be president
in 2016
for fakesies, because real. Presidential, like I think some of the real presidential candidates, unfortunately, like the Jeb Bushes.
No, they're all there.
They didn't go. They didn't speak in Iowa. Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney. They didn't speak in Iowa.
I was under the impression Jeb Bush spoke first.
There's a cat in my lap.
No, let me look this. Let me look. But I was just listening to an NPR story, and it was really interesting because they were talking about how when you go to Iowa, you have to go so crazy right wing. These other people were like, we're not going to go so crazy right wing because we know where the Democrats are. And if we want to win some of these other like big voting blocks, like the Latinos,
that could
the
be
community,
true.
Then we don't want to have to say things that we're going to have to go back on. But if we go there and we say them in front of these like crazy conservatives, then we're going to be on record saying them. We'd rather just not go there at all. and not back ourselves into a corner with certain things like immigration and LGBT rights and
I'll have to look at it because I know a lot of people spoke. But the funny
thing
was,
a lot of people spoke except for Jeb and
Mitt. Mitt's hole's already dug.
Oh, he's done.
They can't dig up anything else shitty. He said. But the best part is that in her speech, the term status quo was in there.
Yeah.
And it went dead. Her teleprompter went dead after status quo. So she had to try and use it in a sentence that wasn't on a teleprompter. And when she explains what status quo means, it's Latin for like fuck the middle class or something
like
that.
Yes, I did hear that.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, it's genius. And so the person on The View today, because they just taped two shows yesterday because of the blizzard and they knew they weren't coming back.
Snowmageddon 2015.
So they said, we just hope that Tina Fey is like ready to go with this one because it's so much fun.
Oh. It was the best of Sarah Palin Unscripted. It was the worst of Sarah Palin.
I know. It was Dickinson and Dickinsonian. What is the word for that?
Sure. I'll allow it.
Dickinsonian. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was a delay. I've watched it like four or five times. What is status quo mean?
I have to
mean?
Watch it.
Well, there we go. That is headline segment. And I think we're ready for Mr. Perkins and its entertainment. And it goes like this. Hey!
Entertainment!
Well, we have our two important Guild Awards given. I have some movie reviews for you, some TV suggestions, a little bit of news about Hannibal. And we're going to dedicate this section to a dear departed friend. And... I don't know, that was over.
No.
It's been the same in...
She knows it.
She's a long-time listener.
I'm usually at the wrong page trying to do this, but so this time I went through the right.
Can I get more cake?
Yes, you can.
Can I shit on your segment already?
Yes.
I'd like you to put some.
If it shuts you up, you eat as much as you'd like.
Oh, God. Really? Really?
Don't stop till you get enough, as that dead black guy said.
Don't stop till you get enough.
There you go.
Oh, is that all? Is there some? I feel like
you can
left.
Have a lot more.
I feel like a second piece might be
no. Oh dear God, no, 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 no,
yeah,
no.
Like you're not gonna eat it.
Dr. Ben Carlson recommended it. This
prescribed
is hard.
It. Yeah.
Oh, this is gonna be.
Scrape all that off the.
I have a segment to do, people. I can't feed the hungry.
You don't have OCD.
I'm not hungry.
Take two cake and listen to Al.
All right. So we'll start with the Producers Guild Award, which is usually a good. Predictor of Best Picture, and it went to Birdman, so I'm very happy. That's why I'm reading them. Birdman won Boyhood, which I've now decided anything but screenplay. Like, as long as Boyhood doesn't win screenplay, I will sit happily in my living room drinking while it wins any award. It there was no screenplay for that movie. Theatrical motion picture, the Lego Movie won, because the Lego Movie fucking rocks.
Yeah.
Let's just say it. Outstanding, producer of a documentary theatrical was Life Itself about Roger Ebert.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a little bit, it's not even nominated. Long form television, Fargo wins again. So I think it turns out as like the Fargo Normal Heart thing, I don't really think they should be in the same category, but strangely they are. Mm-hmm. It's like long form because the Normal Heart was one night, Fargo was a series. Mm-hmm. But everybody's playing fast and loose in what competition you're trying to get into.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to get away from, they're trying to keep Fargo away from True Detective. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, at the end of the year, True Detective has really not won much at all.
It got
Best Director.
Yeah.
Because I think as people got away from True Detective, they were like, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, but it was like so popular it was happening.
No, because as I was watching it, remember, and I said like the week before they did it, I'm like, mm-hmm. Can someone just put just Claire this, not Claire, but what's her name? From Homeland. Claire Danes, but what's her character's name on that? I can't think of it.
Homeland Claire Danes.
But can you just Claire Danes the wall and just put all the facts on the wall and let me see if I can make something out of this show because I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't read this book from 1905 about the Yellow King. So, mm-hmm. And I feel like the rest of the world did that too. Outstanding producer, episodic. I know, God.
Now I'm like,
hopefully it's going to come up.
If only there was a way.
So, episodic television drama went to Breaking Bad, and this is where True Detective was hiding, but it beat out House of Cards as well. Episodic comedy, Orange is the New Black wins here as well, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Nonfiction, Cosmos, a show that I think we all were enjoying. Yeah. Which I'm sure I knew that Cosmos was produced by him, but I had forgotten it. But Seth MacFarlane is one of the producers of, with Ty, what's his name?
Carrie.
Thank you. Thanks. Carrie Matheson.
Yep, thanks.
Tyrese, what's his name? The scientist?
Witherspoon?
Neil deGrasse.
Yeah, right. So Seth MacFarlane is a producer of that, that's and one cool. of the people that's getting that on the screen, which I was not. I think we talked about that at one point, that he was a big driving force about getting Cosmos back on the air. But when I saw his name, I just thought that was pretty cool. The voice wins for competition television. Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon wins for Late Night Talk, and I think I just don't think you can argue with that.
Oh, that's fantastic. No.
He's just hitting it out of the park lately. I mean, the lip syncing,
hilarious
the skits,
and
the
fun.
I tried to get on, you know, he's here in town on
everybody
Sunday,
tried to get tickets.
And he was sold out in 3 minutes or less.
It was
I tried
it was
to
less.
Get tickets, yeah. It was less.
Outstanding digital series. You'll enjoy this. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee
I
one.
So enjoy
oh,
that.
I like that too.
Yeah,
that's
it's
fun.
A lot of fun. Okay, so those are your winners there. Lots of fun. And then the SAG Awards were up. And Sunday I just wasn't feeling awards ready. I just, the award show mode wasn't on me. So I put on my pajamas. I didn't invite anybody over.
I'm very surprised.
I had a little
food ready, but I was like, I could care less. I wasn't feeling it. First award of the evening goes to Uzo Aduba, and I just seriously, I started sobbing like they'd called my name. She was in a terrible dress. I don't know what that was.
What was
it
happening?
It felt like,
but God
saw
bless
her on Fashion Police.
Yeah.
Oh, I taped Fashion Police. I haven't watched it yet. Okay. It was like latch hook artistry that used to hang in Denny's.
It was
god awful. But I have to tell you, I found her speech so moving, and I have no idea what my connection is with Crazy Eyes on that show, but from the first time they brought her on camera through her arc of season 2, which I thought was just so well done.
Her, like, character, her storyline of her as a child,
she was manipulated with V to like, turn on everybody, and Poussey, and Tasty, I mean, they're all so good, but to have her, and why they're singling out her, and I don't understand why I have the connection to her, and why... Like, clearly other people do, because in a huge cast like this, like, how can you pick out the one person to nominate? Right. I find that very hard. But for some reason, I'm as attached to her as other people are, too. So it's striking some kind of chord.
It's a thing, sure.
Yeah, that I don't get what it is. So that was very exciting. So Viola Davis finally won the awards I've been saying she should
win.
Viola Davis wins for Female Actor in a Drama Series. William H. Macy wins for Comedy Series for...
Shameless.
Mark Ruffalo finally gets his award for male actor in a TV movie or miniseries. Frances McDormand, who everyone has thought was going to win, finally won for Kittredge. Game of Thrones wins for stunt ensemble. Unbroken won for stunt ensemble. They have a stunt for the guild, and I just like how they do all that. Let's see. Kevin Spacey wins for male actor in a drama series.
I love him so much.
For House of Cards. And then Downton Abbey snuck up and won again. Surprising, but I guess people are watching this British shit.
I
find
love
that
the shit out of it.
See, and I
can't
just feel
stop
like nothing
watching
happens.
It.
But
no,
I,
nothing ever happens. Like, you're like, oh, what just happened in that episode? Fucking nothing.
Yeah, but...
At all.
I just feel like Julian Fellowes has written all his 19 movies on the same topic, and we just keep rehashing. He wrote Gosford Park like 15 years ago, and he just writes the same shit over and over again. But I love that he's giving all these people work. God bless him, because... They all got work. Orange is the New Black wins for outstanding performance by an ensemble in a comedy series. I have to tell you, I was applauding and so happy for it. And then I realized that 40 people won. Like, most of the shows, they pick, like, the 8 leads. They gave that award to all 40 primary cast members. And that's how they, you know, you list who you want to be nominated. Mm-hmm. And you don't go down as far as, like, third girl from the left. There's 40, what they consider 40 principal parts. And they gave them all awards. Wow. And when I saw that cast go up on stage, I'm like, well, of course the Screen Actors Guild. They just employed, there's 2 men on that stage. They just employed, they gave 38 women of color and minorities jobs in a show for women, about women, where they're not just talking about men. They're like, they're not talking about, they're talking about their real lives. It's not our real lives.
It's not even
lifetime. None of us are in jail, but, right, exactly. But I'm like, how do you resist a show that's that well written by a woman, created by a woman, for women, like, half the voting block is women.
Yeah.
You got to stand up and like be counted on that one. As soon as they all got on stage, I'm like, what a powerful message that half the women in the audience just went up to accept for like, here's where we're getting work. While you fuckers keep making movies with 2 guys and the girl gets beaten up or raped, here's a show with 40 women in strong roles. So I just thought it was so good. Patricia Arquette, I think we can stop wondering what's going to happen on Oscar night. She's going to win an Oscar. Okay. That's where Boyhood's winning its Oscar. Okay. This one's just sealed in stone, covered up, bury it. It's gone. J.K. Simmons, I already told you that shit was over.
Yeah,
That category is a no-brainer. That is the best performance this year in that category in what is a really good movie. Birdman wins for outstanding performance by a cast. So I think with Birdman winning from the Producers Guild and the Actors Guild, that tells you the two big branches like Birdman better. And I think Birdman's stock just went up in the Best Picture race. Mm. With American Sniper is the kicker because of the controversy.
You said it, but you couldn't win.
It doesn't have an editing, so it'll be the first time since Ordinary People that something could win Best Picture without an editing nomination.
Yeah, I hope it does. So, like, get a little
crazy. I do too, and that would be very strange. But if it doesn't win, just remember it didn't win because it didn't have an editing nomination. So it's missing that group of people. Eddie Redmayne wins again for Best Actor. And it's so classy. Not only did he thank his four fellow nominees, but he included David Oyelowo, please pronounce his name for me, from Selma, mm-hmm. as someone who should have been nominated.
Yeah, I think
he, oh, he did.
He acknowledged American Sniper, Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. He acknowledged people that weren't in his category but should
he
have been in
Bradley
his.
He said Bradley Cooper twice and then was like, ah.
Oh, I already said his name. But yeah. So he was gracious enough to not just nominate the people that made it, but people that gave great performances through the course of the year. So it was a really nice speech and I think might help him because I think Bradley Cooper might be sneaking up and going to be our only surprise of Oscar night. And then we'll tie this in with a movie review. I finally got around to it because it just opened on Friday here. I finally saw Still Alice today.
Oh.
It is brilliant.
Okay.
Just cut, print, lock it.
Is that the one with Hilary Swank?
No, Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Absolutely her best role ever. She has never been this good. And if they had released it earlier in the year and given it a little bit of press, this movie could have made money. They're kind of dumping it in January like it doesn't have a chance. It's got a really good cast.
Why would they do that?
I don't understand why no faith in this movie and why you're dumping it so late in the season into the nothing good happens in the end of January box office wise. There's nothing. Even if this movie takes off, it's not going to make any kind of money and not be seen. It is just it's so well done. It's Alec Baldwin, Kate Bosworth, Hunter Parrish from Weeds. It's Kristen Stewart. What's her name?
Oh, Kristen Stewart.
The girl who can't act, but all of a sudden finally learned how to act for this movie. Well, she's not just moping in the corner and you want to kick her in the teeth.
Because she's horrible.
She's horrible. She's a horrible actress.
Really horrible.
But she was really good in this. It was so well done. And then the other movie to recommend that no one's going to see, you're probably going to end up having to rent it, was A Most Violent Year. Jessica Chastain, she's gotten a lot of pre-awards nominations. She didn't get the Academy Award nomination. It's her and Oscar Isaacs in a kind of a twist on The Godfather Part 2. And it is so well done.
I love The Godfather.
It's about the heating oil business in the boroughs, the Tri-City mm-hmm. area, and the little bit of mob influence that's in there, how they're stealing from each other, set in the backdrop of like New York City in 1981, which is the most violent year. Mm-hmm. And it's very Sidney Lumet, if you're familiar with Sidney Lumet mm-hmm. movies with those beautiful jazz soundtracks.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, and instead of the jazz soundtrack, you actually, the news is just deaths and violence. So instead of having that Sidney Lumet soundtrack, every time there's no dialogue, someone's listening to the radio and it's all violent news stories. Really well done. It's called The Most Violent Year. It's going to be hard to catch. Wait, if you have to wait till rent it, no one will blame you, but it's really fucking good. Oh, Grand Budapest Hotel was marvelous. That was really good. Really fun. And that, I think it's already out on video, but I know it's on HBO. So if you have HBO, it's on HBO Go.
The Grand Budapest?
Yeah.
I have a DVR. Yeah it's
on there.
To see. It is.
So let me go to my official list and tell you about a couple more things. Amazon, we learned last week that they don't make a profit, and I'm one of the main reasons, because now I am just going to fuck these people till they give me all their money.
Right.
I signed up, by the way, for Amazon Prime.
Oh, yes. Good girl.
Mm-hmm. All right,
that's
well, I will teach you some things to
Please
watch.
Do.
So I made it through Transparent. I was halfway through last week. Yes, it's lighter. It does get lighter. It's still a stretch to call that a comedy, but oh my God, is that one of the most lived-in, soulful performances from every one of those actors. Okay. It is just so well done. Jeffrey Tambor has a friend who's a transvestite who has his own journey, and I didn't realize till like I was so far into it. Finally, like, who the fuck is that guy? And I kept seeing his name in the credits, and I was like, well, he wasn't in this show. Never put it together that even though he's a man and dressed as a woman sometimes, like, I just couldn't align that actor with this fragile part of someone who needs to be a transvestite. And then they addressed transvesticism versus transgendered versus gay, like drag queens, and they go to a retreat and they address it. It's just so beautifully done. Mm. 10 episodes, 28 minutes each. It is the best use of your time. It is
nice.
And everybody, Gabby Hoffman, and he raised three and it just shows you, if you're living with secrets and you're living a lie, the disastrous children you raise when you're not raising in your own truth, that your children just grow up to be the disasters that you made.
And it really is something.
And they all have to come to the fact, terms of the fact that none of them can own up to who they are because they've had no role model of someone being their true self. I don't know if that was their intention, but that's what I got out of it. And I just thought it was so powerful. And then I finally fucking found it after searching for all these years. Orphan Black in its entirety is on Amazon.Prime.
Shut the fuck up.
Worth $99 all on its own. This show is a maze fucking balls.
Okay.
Turns out I had missed big chunks of season one because I had been missing episodes, and that's why the show was not making like sense.
Right.
Oh my God, it's free. It's worth the whole $99 goddamn dollars. This show, this girl.
I was telling Mom that when that won, that you talk about it all the time. But where do we find it?
So hard to find.
Okay.
She is Tatiana Marsala, I think is her name. This is an actress. Miss Laney. This is an actress. There is no fucking around. Cute gay character. That is her, like, sidekick detective as she tries to figure out who she is and who the other
Jordan
people
Gavaris.
Are.
Jordan Gavaris. Is that Felix?
Felix. Fee, as they call him. He is a delight. Naked a lot. Open. Fun. And then her hot boyfriend. And it's a great mystery. It's a great story. It's so much. It's so much fun. And then the last thing is on Netflix, from the BBC, The Fall, with Gillian Anderson and Jamie Dornan, who is in 50 Shades of Grey. Don't go see that movie, but go see him in The Fall. He is so sexy. It's so uncomfortable. There's only 6 episodes per season. Season 2 came out. I finally got a chance to watch it Wednesday during the great illness, the great cucumber illness. Right. This show is so good. Gillian Anderson, she is all I could think of as I was watching it, and I was like applauding her every episode. She should have been, if Hitchcock was still alive, she would be in every movie. That would be his Ice Princess.
The Fall.
She is so... I just love when they use actresses correctly. She's so good. And it's so funny because she can't do an Irish accent, so they made her British, which is just... There's no reason for her to be British. And she's clearly not leaving. Like, you're visiting from another country. You don't have a job here. You're still here 4 weeks later.
Right.
Oh, my God. And there's the violence against women part of it is gone because the second season was all about capturing... Jamie, oh my God, but the discomfort with a girl who idolizes him, who has a crush on him, was palpable. Absolutely palpable. Mm. And I just want to say before you cut me off, this was all dedicated to LD, who was a frequent patron in the bar and passed away today. And I was just a big fan. He was just a sweetheart of a man.
Aww.
And he died this
afternoon.
Aww. His name is LD, and he was just a delight. He was a frequent customer at BS West and was there on my first day at work and a big fan of anything all of us did, and just a great friend of the bar. And so he died at old age, at a ripe old age, and ready to go, and had a full life, and just a wonderful man. So
good.
Well, thanks for LD for...
Yeah. I finished all entertainment before 9 o'clock.
Actually,
look
I have
at
two
you.
Questions.
Well, we'll come back with your questions.
Oh, I like a question.
Marnie has
period.
Follow-up questions coming up also. Katie June, Kat Carlson have their segments. We'll see if they make it through that. And then Al will ask uncomfortable questions of us in thoughtful vulgarity. Join us in the chat room. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi again, everybody. Beginning of hour 3, as we do on a Tuesday night. This is The Show. It's Studio C, where we are coming to you live. We do it every Tuesday, 7 to 10 to 10:30, depending on how drunk we get and how much talking we want to do. Again, we're here with you every Tuesday night. It's The Show with Katie June, Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and me. I'm your humble host, Clayton McKee, right here for your listening pleasure. Join us in the chat room if you have not already done so. So many people in the chat room. Aaron from L.A. Don from Washington is in there. Jeffrey's in there. Drew.
Meow Cal.
A lot of people in the chat room. So thanks for all being there, everybody. As we closed out last hour, Al was wrapping up his entertainment section, and Marnie had a couple follow-up questions. Marnie Ryder.
Well, there were two things. One, I wanted to let you know, because you want me to see newer, newish movies. Mm-hmm. We finally sat down and watched Mom and I did August Osage.
Oh yeah.
Jumping Jesus, Did I Feel Good About Me. Really? Fuck me.
Eat
running.
The fucking fish.
You want to break plates? We can all break plates. Oh, it's my favorite line. But I sat there and we were, Mom and I at different points would turn around and just look at each other and be like, good God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized how normal the Ryer family was.
Yes,
and we realized how, you know, like where you're.
Is that by chance the one with
Meryl Streep
and Julia Roberts? Got it. Bingo.
I mean, for real. And I loved the cast. The cast was amazing.
And Margot.
I love her. You're talking the sister?
Yeah, Margot. Martindale. Just.
I love her.
If Meryl Streep was not in them, if Meryl Streep and Julie Roberts weren't the bigger stars, I thought hers was the Oscar-nominated turn.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciated her in that movie. But the whole thing, I was startled. Just startled. And then, as I'm watching it, I realized that the person who played June... I'm probably saying that wrong. I never guessed in a movie. Yeah. I'm not kidding you, Drew. I'm with you. But... The June, the Native American who was, or Indian, as...
Yeah, she was just recently found dead.
Found dead.
Yeah, she just recently died.
And they're saying, like, as an accident...
her name is Misty or Missy or something. And she suffered from depression and bipolar disease. Yeah.
Well, and it was... So, watching the SAG Awards, all of a sudden I'm watching different things, and I saw different names. And then we're watching August Osage, and I went, looks really familiar. Yeah. Why does she look so fucking familiar? And then I looked and put it together with her name and the other, and so that was kind of sad. But I just wanted to let you know, watch
brilliant
that.
Brilliant movie.
What a fucking brilliant
and
movie.
And I honestly think that's Julia Roberts' best performance. Absolute best. She looks fantastic.
She did. And it was like a freeing movie where, like, with that screaming and when she attacked Meryl Streep.
And again,
I was like, about the pills, son of a bitch.
A very lived in, believable performance.
It was like, so believable.
You forgot it was Julia Roberts half the time. I've never found her more beautiful as I do in that movie.
I agree.
She looks so natural and so Oklahoma. Like, I bought it. I think that's
hook,
what people from
line
Oklahoma
and
look
like. Fucking
yeah.
sinker. I bought. Except for Sally
Everybody
Kern.
From Oklahoma looks like
except
Julia
for
Roberts,
Sally
then
Kern.
Count me in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Sally Kern.
Yeah.
She's
yeah,
from
that's
Oklahoma.
True.
That's all.
That's true.
The one thing you did not touch on that I am intrigued by was Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
I did mean to. Carrie Fisher, her meds are working, clearly. Edison's medicine, as they like to call shock therapy, is right. Doing a world of good.
Yeah.
Nice digs, like nice playful digs
they
at
were.
Each other.
Yep.
She's been more than just my mom. Not much.
Not much, but you
more
know, yeah.
than just my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie Reynolds making fun of her for the buns.
So Reynolds showed up.
Reynolds showed up.
She
because
showed up,
you...
I'm going to say in part. Now, did you notice some...
Yeah, and she looked a little unanimated in the audience when they would fly the camera by her. Mm-hmm. She kind of looked like an older person who may not have been all with it. And they kind
of like she had some of Carrie Fisher's meds and/or shock therapy beforehand.
They juiced her up just in time. But then her speech was lovely, and she repeated herself, but she caught it. She's like, "Well, I already said that."
And then she said her favorite was Singing in the Rain, and then her favorite was Molly Brown.
Yeah,
how many?
It was cute. It was.
How many years ago did Will and Grace go off the air?
Oh,
a lot. I want to say 2006 it went off the
sounds
air.
Sounds right.
Okay, so we're several years that she's passed. It,
right,
since
but she
passed.
She was in Beyond the Candelabra where she, mm-hmm. a character
oh,
part.
Oh, that's true. She did.
Mother,
she played his mother.
Yep.
And
that's right.
She's done Simpson episodes.
When was
like,
the bird, the... Nope. Not the bird.
The bird is the word.
Kevin Kline's mom.
Oh, God, that's a long time ago.
Oh,
In or Out's like 20 years ago.
God, I love Kevin.
I know,
Kline's
but
so,
I couldn't
so
think of when that one was.
Yeah, that's a long time. Because then she had the movie called Mom with Albert Brooks wrote it for her. Whoa, and she was, her and Madonna were the surprise snubs for the Oscar that year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, older, definitely older.
Right, but you've been looking at, you were going to lure her out of her house with cats at one point.
No, that's Doris Day.
No, that's different.
Oh, my bad, wrong person.
Debbie Reynolds is easy to find.
Still older, got it.
Well, and I thought
I'm totally wrong on that.
I'm going to hold the bear with a knife to its neck.
Right, until she comes out of the house.
Yeah.
Doris Day.
But I thought it was, I did. I thought it was very playful and very fun.
Got it.
Them back and forth. And again, I really was waiting for you to put her on the death den. Debbie Reynolds, because...
Oh, she's one of those plucky people that I think is going to live forever.
Yeah, that's why I was like, initially she got up there
and
Isn't that
extra points, though, plucky old people?
Yeah, plucky old people do get bonus points.
It keeps them alive,
We haven't visited the Death Den in a while. But
last-time listener.
But,
it's not what I'm looking at you for.
Louise Rainer, though.
Totally different.
Louise Rainer finally died, and they put her picture up there. And I was laughing, because in the room... Louise Rainer won her two Oscars and retired so long ago, there was probably no one in the room who had ever worked with her or who even knew who she was.
Sure.
First person to ever win two Oscars.
Okay.
And every year...
You've spoken of her, but
every year that they
mentioned
she was alive, sure. I'm like, holy shit, Louise Rainer's still alive?
Still?
Yeah, because she cried. Oh, we did something for her when she died, because her big scene is the crying, that she was probably the first person to ever, like... cry in a sound picture, and they gave her an Oscar because everyone was like, that's uncomfortable. Snot noises were not what we signed up for sound pictures for.
Well, and I had met, we went to the Biltmore and saw Singing in the Rain, where they have the outdoor movies.
I was there.
And it was so fun. I didn't realize Debbie Reynolds was in it, because I had no idea what I was signing up for with going to see that.
And one of the best movies ever made.
And when
haven't you heard her explain how she had to learn to dance in that movie?
That's what Carrie Fisher was saying. Like, within 3 months or something, she had to learn what they knew.
She used to hide under a desk. She was in so much pain, she would cry. And then Gene Kelly pulled her out. And was like, you know, basically just talked her through it, said she'll be fine, and held her hand through the whole thing. Because she didn't know anything about it. She was thrown into all of that.
Well, and then after that, all the different pictures she was in, she was just dancing up a storm.
Right.
And, it was like, what?
Yeah, because they all say that. Like, they all hated Busby Berkeley and all those people for making them make those musicals and torturing them. But then if someone said, can you do this dance? Yeah, I got that.
Right. I got that. Sure. Easy.
Give me,
5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, give me 20 minutes and a Band-Aid. I'll get to do this. On our classic stations, because, you know, I ask a lot of people, you want to watch a movie? And they always say, yes, let's watch Singing in the Rain this month. That's on. So I've been watching Singing in the Rain with
people. I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. And it's child abuse if you don't get that kid on that movie fast.
Yeah, that's actually
You're like 2 weeks away
that
from that being child
thing.
Abuse.
Donald O'Connor,
Gene Kelly.
I loved him.
Oh, you can't help it. When that movie's over, you want to dig up his grave and marry him.
Totally.
Because you just want to shake. You want to shake his skeleton hand and be like, there was few people
and then
as talented as you.
Dance up a wall and.
So if you seriously go back and you watch that movie, and everybody now has to go back, and this is your homework assignment: watch Good Morning, or watch Moses Supposes, and watch how long they go. Count in your head how long it is before there is a cut away from that dancing. There is no editing. Those people are doing that dance with no editing. So they're hitting their marks. They're jumping on tables. They're tipping over couches. And they are on their mark. Sure. And if you watch Make 'Em Laugh, when he goes up that wall and through the set, just count in your head. And I do that all the time. When you're watching somebody that's like, oh, they're a great dancer, and you watch their videos and you can't get to 3 before there's an edit of that shot from somewhere else, and you realize, nope, they can't do that dance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you do the counts. And just Google the numbers, the musical numbers from Singing in the Rain. First off, they're delightful.
Yeah, they're so fun.
And you're
going
to want to see them bigger and blown up. Yeah. But watch Good Morning and watch how long, and Moses Supposes is the other one, watch how long they have to go before someone will give them a fucking cut.
Wow.
And there's no cutaways. You don't see it from another angle. It's just set. It's choreographed beautifully.
Yeah.
And that wraps up entertainment. Katie Jr., ready to go?
By 9/11.
Ready.
Here we go.
There's some sports and some stuff. Okay, so it's the Super Bowl in Phoenix Arizona.
And the traffic sucks.
Media day for the NFL was today. Marshawn Lynch loves a good media opportunity. We've got some more news on Deflategate, another Super Bowl quarterback who also admits to cheating, domestic violence addressed in the bowl, and so much more.
And Wilson Phillips is in town. No. Wilson
hold
Phillips.
On.
God damn it.
Hold on.
I fucked that up.
Baby, hold on.
One more day. One more day. One more day.
Damn it. Russell Wilson, not Wilson Phillips.
Oh, my God. That's so great. That was your accident.
Carney Wilson is here. Cover the cake. Cover the cake.
It's chocolate day.
It was
fun. She flew in. She smelled it.
So funny the first place. So funny.
Wow. So on top of current events and local celebrities.
Things are going to go your way.
Yes. Oh, hold on.
One more day.
Oh. Well, that is...
Write that down.
It's the dyslexic Les Miserables.
Russell Wilson, not carne asada.
I'll just break free from the chains.
Not carne asada. That's not her either.
No.
What's the fat one's name? Carne asada? Yes. I'm so confused.
Carne Wilson.
Not carne asada.
That sounds good.
Oh, my
that
God.
That poor girl.
So funny.
Seriously.
Poor Carne.
I blame the liquor.
She was on Celebrity Wife Swap. It was actually a really interesting episode.
That was interesting.
Carry on, my wayward kitty.
So, Media Day was here. It was down at the U.S. Aero Center. Saw a lot of photos from friends that worked down there. It was just kind of neat. You know, there's like a really exciting energy. I had a really cool story pulled up about like the top five things. My internet fucked up, so that's gone. But
oops. I hate when an internet radio show has an internet problem.
I know. But I will tell you that there was, so obviously the big things there were Deflategate. It was all about, the Patriots deflating their balls and Tom Brady acting... Every time.
Yeah.
And
every time. Never gets old.
And Tom Brady kind of lying about it or being, you know, really evasive about it.
His balls just his usual douche self.
Thinks that he's lying. Yeah. Talk about Brandon, who's the guy? Brandon Brown, who moved from the Seahawks. He was previously a Seahawks member, and now he's playing for the Patriots.
Oh, I don't know.
He was interviewed and is saying openly, well, I know everything about their game. I know everything about them. I brought it to the Patriots, and we're gonna beat them, and here's how we're gonna do it. So that was a part of it. Oh my God! And I'm totally blanking on Richard Sherman.
Break his arm.
They said we're going to break his arm. I'm going to break his arm, and here's what we're going to do. He's got a bad elbow, et cetera, et cetera. So
he's such a nice guy. Like that's one of those guys. Like stop shitting on him.
Richard Sherman is actually great. Yeah, and I remember bringing him up about 6 months ago. Oh, whatever. However many months ago when he went on and on.
Before last year's Super Bowl. Okay. And it was just poor sportsmanship one day in front of a microphone, opposed to like a lifetime of good deeds.
And it was all
after
nice
the game got done.
It was all I had seen about him, and I thought that same thing. And then since you see a lot of really great things about him, in addition to being a supporter and a proponent and a voice of Obamacare and of the Affordable Care Act, has been, he's been a spokesperson for the Affordable Care Act, which is really exciting. Because it's a part of our law, and let's help maybe get some, perhaps there are some disenfranchised communities who might listen to him before they listen to like political pundits.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting.
The unicunt pig fucker.
Right. So it's really great. He's actually a really great guy, and he was so gracious at Media Day today. Unlike his teammate, Marshawn Lynch, who apparently doesn't like the media. So it's just a thing.
Is that the dumbass that 29 times answered? I saw that.
So he doesn't like the media. And I've like actually found myself for literally the very first time ever today when I was laying on the couch just prior to the nap. and then again after for a short bit, watching the NFL, day on ESPN. It was like on all day. Only because I was excited that it was out in Scottsdale and I like recognized the backdrop. So I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. I'm going to watch it. It actually was like an enjoyable program. They were talking all about things that I sort of knew a little bit about. And apparently this guy doesn't like the media. He never has. A couple of the commentators also had been pro football players or coaches, didn't like the media, but just said, you know what? You got to suck it up. It's part of the contract. When you sign a contract with the NFL, you are also agreeing to a media package and you have to do it. And guess what, assholes? you're not going to be here playing this game for nobody. Like, the people that are watching the media are the people that are buying the tickets, that are coming, that are buying your stupid jerseys. Because
these are the inside foot, these are the inside baseball people. Yes. Like, these are the people that are like, okay, we're so into it. We're going to watch this dumb interview.
And all of these media clips, though, it's what they use to promote the Super Bowl. It's what they use to promote Arizona. It's what they use to talk about the team and the sports. And so it's when you go sign up to play professional football, it's part of the gig. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to do it. Anyway, this guy is uncomfortable, which is weird because I saw him making, like, in the end zone at some point, doing, like, a big, giant jump in the air crotch grab as, like, his victory crotch grab. So that, totally comfortable.
I'm totally going to start doing that.
Victory crotch grab! Yes. You got me crotch grab!
Yes. In here.
Cat Carlson Memorial Stage for you, big crotch grab! So that was really
thing.
Cool.
Yeah,
super
that's totally
normal.
Thing.
But talking to the press wasn't. And my point is, he was told he would be fined $500,000 if he missed media day, which he was wanting to do. And he showed up to media day, and you had to be there. The rules apparently speculate that you have to spend, there's a minimum. You have to be there for at least like 5 or 7 minutes, something really, really minimal. So he gets into his little press box, sets his timer for 5-7 minutes, and visibly is like, all right, you got 5 minutes. They ask him the first question. He says, I'm telling you right now, I'm here because I gotta be so I don't get fined. And I'm not going to answer any of your questions. And I'll sit here and do this game with you for the next 5 minutes. But your time is going, so go. So the first few people ask him their questions. Legit, this is a part of the biggest media spectacle in the fucking country. And he responds every single time with, I'm just here so I won't get fined. For 29
times.
Questions in a row. And the media folks thought it was hilarious. So they keep asking him questions.
Yeah, it gets funny after a while.
And they showed the clips over and over again, you know, him over and over finding not even like new and interesting ways to say the same phrase, just the same phrase. I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Wow.
Again, just here so I won't get fined. And it.
Or has he learned his lesson that everything I say is just going to be used against me and misconstrued, and I'm going to come out as an asshole?
I was just
he
say,
still
was,
gets
was
fined.
Was I getting cake during the part where we learned why he hates the media?
He's just my understanding was, and I could be, I don't know.
Racial profiling against all black
he's
people.
He's just uncomfortable.
You're
it's
talking
just,
about
he's like.
Drew was asking. Yeah. It's
Marshawn Lynch. That's sorry, right. Marshawn Lynch from the Seahawks.
But is he uncomfortable from like a privacy standpoint? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know that he's. I'm sure.
Just a,
somewhere
I'm a douchebag, and here's how I'm going to make.
And my
headlines.
Understanding was the Seahawks were going to be getting rid of him. Like they were like, we can't wait for this fucker to be out of here.
No.
And
he's a good player.
He's a good player, but they were going to fine him if you guys heard about this during the Green Bay game because he was going to wear gold shoes. Do you remember hearing about that?
No.
He was going to wear gold shoes, and they were like, "Nah, you're either kicked out of the game or you're fined or something."
Either way,
gold shoes are not allowed.
I don't know why, which I thought was
so Cinderella.
Dumb,
well, that'll be our homework for next week. We'll find out what
about the gold shoes.
Fuck that. We haven't said that in a while.
A slipper as pure as gold.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he wanted that. So we also are hearing a lot about this Deflategate, of course, which is where the footballs that the Patriots use, because each team brings their own balls to the game. So anyway, the footballs that they used were deflated by, what, 2 PSIs, I think, and apparently it makes the...
That'd be pounds per square inch.
Yep, thank you. I think that it makes the footballs a little bit easier to throw and catch, especially in cold weather.
Here's what
like
I didn't know about that, because I asked my mom about this very thing, because I thought, well, what difference does it make? Because if the ball was deflated during play, doesn't the other team have the exact same advantage or disadvantage
each
based
team
on
that? Uses their own ball.
But
they
I
say,
didn't.
Don't they provide
I
their
didn't,
own ball?
I did not know that.
So some of what
that's
was
what
interesting.
I was getting at is I got educated.
I found
edumacated.
That. I found that out by 8-year-old flag football.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh.
Well,
they
some
provide
of the
their own
some
ball?
Of the some of the.
God, maybe use a different knife.
What in the fuck are you doing over there?
I'm licking things.
Jesus Christ.
My God-given right.
Is it weird that I want another piece?
Some of the announcers on this ESPN NFL Zone were like, you know what, let every... And I without knowing anything else about it, tended to kind of go, yeah, that makes sense.
Thank you.
Listen, let every quarterback show up with the balls they want to play with and say, you know what? Like, because,
you know, it's so dumb, but you can't laugh. You
or at least meet him at the stadium.
Yeah.
Right.
Buy him dinner. God
damn it. And they're saying, like, you know, if this quarterback likes him a little bit harder and this quarterback wants him a little softer, awesome. Just let them all bring their own favorite balls to the game. But really, and it kind of made sense. You know, they're like, look, we want to get the best out of all these players. Like, it's the, you know, it's not going to make that big of a difference. But like, if, but here's the thing. If Kat likes a hard ball, I'm going to do something else. If
oh, yes, I do.
Likes the hard ball and Clayton wants the soft ball, then they're both playing with their best, like,
set of balls.
Ball asset, right.
Sorry, you can't.
I feel you can't. You cannot do it. Now, my thing is,
sorry.
It was such a blowout of a game. They could have been playing. They really could have been playing with tennis balls,
and it wouldn't have mattered. And it really wouldn't have mattered. And that's what some of the other,
because the Colts were out of luck.
Right.
The
other
people
were saying is that
there was a pun
difficult.
There. Did you enjoy that?
It was nice.
Thank you.
It was nice. I didn't pay any attention.
I throw you a bone once
know,
in a while.
I know.
Well, listen, so now they have this strong person of interest, which is actually really devastating. They've zeroed in on this locker room attendant who apparently, after the balls were
naturally,
checked.
They found a Puerto Rican in the parking lot to blame it on.
Yeah.
Who probably has good balls.
SNL went after this so
after
hard.
After the balls were checked, apparently this poor schlep takes a bathroom break and comes back another like, well, he obviously
he
did
gets,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was was gone for at least 2 to 3 minutes.
We can win any game we want without him. Blame him.
He did it all. So anyway, kind of sad and embarrassing. And I mean, you know, really, it's stupid. They're going to get fined. Even what I would consider a significant amount of money is going to be nothing to them. It's going to be a fine and it's going to go away. So let's just stop talking about it and focus on the
but
game.
SNL did a beautiful job with it. And what's his face? Blake Shelton was the musical guest and the host.
He's good.
Funny.
He's
funny. Shit. They went after The Bachelor and it was so spot on that they couldn't call it. You know how they always call it the real show? They had to make up a fake name for it because they were afraid ABC would sue.
Oh, really?
And ABC responded to it as being like, that's not, well, it is kind of, but it's not. It kind of is, but it's not.
Yeah.
Sort of is. Because he's like, I know 3 girls got to go home this week, and I'm thinking it's week 2, so it's going to be the 2 black ones, the one with the curly hair. And it was like, oh, my God. And The Bachelor was like, no.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. They were so good. Go ahead.
Sorry. So amid all of this hoopla over Deflategate, there are Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud has published a column reminding us of similarly shady schemes that have happened before and not too long ago. Talks about Tampa Bay quarterback Brad Johnson, who admitted that in 2012, so this is a couple years ago, he paid $7,500 for ball handlers to scuff and wear in the balls before Super Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry. Admitted in 2012, XXXVII, whatever the fuck that means. 37.
Sure, good job.
So I paid some guys off to get the balls right. I went and got around 100
some
footballs.
Some call it prostitution.
And they took care of all of them.
Who said this? Who's
Brad this
Johnson.
Is Brad Johnson.
Yeah. Okay, number 14, good. Minnesota Vikings. Gotcha,
Johnson threw for 215 yards with 2 touchdowns in the game, and Tampa Bay beat the Oakland Raiders 48-21. Oh, my God, that was the year the Raiders were in the Super Bowl. That was the only year I watched.
Yeah, that was against another Minnesota Vikings quarterback, Rich Gannon. And Rich Gannon. Brad Johnson decided that they
and
they
Jerry Rice
about
were
it.
On that team together. I paid attention to football 1 year.
But they talked about the fact that they each said, why wouldn't we? Nobody wants to play with a brand new
shitty new ball,
virgin ball.
Yeah, you want a ball that's been worn a
shiny
little bit.
Disco ball.
That's true.
Leave it.
Fuck that.
Leave it.
And
leave it.
So the domestic, but anyway, this is kind of like on a year of just like shit for
right. And the one thing
NFL.
They said is all we want to do is thank God that the football scandal is actually about football and we're not raping people or beating them up or it's finally football related. And the NFL commissioner's like,
what is this, Roger Goodell?
Bring it on. It's about football. I don't have to apologize or define
and
rape.
They've been talking about his relationships with coaches. I mean, it's just ugly. It's just been a bad year. What's interesting is that there is a public service announcement, which will be the first ever to address domestic violence during the Super Bowl. So,
and you're gonna catch a lot of wife beaters with that commercial, because first off, people watch the commercials, and there's probably a correlation.
And during the game, if the bitch ain't bringing the nachos fast enough, there's gonna be a problem.
Yeah. Oh, Clayton, that's,
I'm just guessing.
It's kind of true.
So anyway, you know, there's
don't
also
fix me another turkey pop.
It's also really amazing what it's just. You know, I didn't pay attention the last time that the Super Bowl was in town. I just wasn't participating.
That was like 15 years ago.
No,
it was like
2006.
We do it like every 9 to 10 years. Yeah.
I'm going to say I forgot about that.
Is that the one? Is that the one with Diana Ross? That's the Diana Ross.
Diana Ross was 96.
That's what I'm thinking of.
So 2006, it was played at
the Giants, and
but
it was
at was it in Glendale? And the other
one before that
was in Tempe.
It was in Glendale.
The first one was in Tempe.
Okay, but anyhow, what
that's
they were saying is one of the reasons that you've seen. Oh yeah, you're right. And one of the reasons that we've seen like this big crazy downtown development is specifically for the Super Bowl. They wanted to get it back.
And then they didn't finish the light rail that they promised. That's my best. That's the best part.
I know.
They swore up and down that we would have public transit to and from
all the way.
They went 1 foot further.
Yeah.
It hasn't even made it to Glendale Road yet. Let alone turn west and get to the stadium.
That's right.
Yeah. But either way, it's meant a lot of really exciting economic development for downtown Phoenix. So that's really
container lines have been suspended for the weekend.
Awesome.
Downtown.
So it's like
on
Vegas?
Certain streets, right.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is because the NFL, because Phoenix lied and we didn't get our rapid transit together, and a lot of it was Glendale's problem because they wanted to preserve what they're calling historic
Glendale.
Okay, fuck that. What is that?
So it's that one block where Glendale Glitters is.
Literally one, yeah.
They never agreed to what street it could be down, so the NFL experience and everything else is in Scottsdale in downtown Phoenix because you didn't do your deal. You didn't do
it. It's really true. Glendale is losing out.
So Glendale's actually losing money because they have to pay for all the security of the game, and there's no functions going on there, and most of the people, most of the Illuminati, or whatever you want to call them, are staying in Phoenix or Scottsdale and getting driven there because
all of them, even still
by Uber.
So Natalie,
well, there's nowhere to stay out there.
So
really,
our good friend Natalie Cianciola, there's like a hotel out there.
Like, there's like the one. The it's like a Ramada or something,
it's
right?
One.
Right there.
In.
Yeah.
Ram it in.
So our good friend Natalie Cianciola works for Entertainment Solutions, who's doing the Fan Fest out in Scottsdale, and then we've got some friends over at the Downtown Phoenix Partnership. Mm-hmm. They're like the two, you know, kind of hubs. And it's just for downtown Phoenix. I mean, I just think it's really exciting. It's cool.
It is, and we don't have to foot any of the bill. It doesn't come out of our city tax dollars because Glendale's footing the bill.
Right.
So,
because Glendale glitter on another fucking street, you morons.
I know. For real. There was actually some really Jerry Wires, the Glendale mayor, didn't even get a ticket. Apparently, I read this in the news today
to the
Super Bowl. Yeah, didn't even get a ticket. So it was just kind of further illustrating the tensions between the Cardinals and Glendale. They are not having a happy marriage. And
Is Glendale going?
Probably.
I think that's awesome.
Because one of the things that they kept saying that they were going to do, they moved the stadium out there. Mm-hmm. It's way too far away. It's not part of Phoenix.
Real far.
It's barely incorporated Phoenix, but they swore up and down that this light rail would be done by 2015.
Yep. Well,
and then they fought it from day one.
But not February 2015. No,
and
it's not getting out there this year. There's not even an unmanned shovel nearby.
They just started digging from 19th Avenue and Bethany Home. Like, they just started digging. Yeah, like, it's not going anywhere.
And they probably feel real ahead of themselves because they got the airport all done. You know what I mean? Like, that in time for that the airport's done.
Yeah. Well, because that's not Glendale. Yeah, right. It's Phoenix. Let's take care of ourselves.
That's it. Yep.
And Phoenix did a great job. So what's really fun, so ESPN is out in Scottsdale. Fox
at
Sports.
Fashion Square, if I'm not
mistaken. Fashion Square and kind of that area. Fox Sports and MSNBC are all in Phoenix. And a lot of them are doing live broadcasts from the Arrogant Butcher restaurant.
Oh.
So,
nice choice.
What's really cool is it's closed down to the public. It's open to, it's really kind of exclusive, like media people and Congress people. So we're having a little luncheon thing there, and I am so excited that we get the badges. And I like specifically asked the woman, am I super tacky or can I use this badge on other occasions when I'm not actually working. And she's like, yeah, 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 we made a little friends.
So use it cool. and abuse it. Absolutely.
So I am. Yeah. I'm getting opportunities to meet Mike Ditka.
If you
and
say Chris Carter, I swear to Jesus.
I don't know.
No, no, no. You have no idea. Like, you need a plus one.
And well, and Mike, so some old football players,
I'll start
Joe
crying.
Namath and Mike Ditka and Terry Bradshaw, like just kind of fun. Like,
see,
they're
that,
like,
and I've said that when I worked at the Point South crying. Mountain, or what's now called the Grand Arizona Grand Resort. Mm-hmm. When I worked there for the 96 Super Bowl, that's where they had all the alumni. They had all the, so like Dan Marino was there, Jim Kelly, like everybody, like those two people were everybody, but there was Don Shula. It was just, it went amazing, on and on and on, and every table was a star, and they were having the people go out on the golf course and get them to sign jerseys to put up on the, because we had a sports bar and put up the wall. So, I mean, it's amazing who shows up for these. Mm-hmm. And
sure,
they spend
cool.
money. I mean, they don't spend their own money. And when someone famous gets a check, they just look at it and look at their assistant, and somebody else whips out money.
Mm-hmm. They're doing, Chris Matthews will be there, and Joe Scarborough, and just like some fun. But it'll just be kind of fun. A couple other Congress people are coming down. And I also have a maybe potential to go to some like CEO fancy event. I kind of don't want to go. I would have to be a staffer and like sit at the kids' table while my boss did her actual work. But I love Big Willie Geist from the Today Show, and he's supposed to be there. And Ryan Seacrest is supposed to be there. Like, and like CEOs and shit. I don't know.
Name from Kelly and Michael. I want him to be there.
Oh yeah. Oh maybe.
I want to climb on that bus.
Yeah. So anyway, kind
just
of
go
just
go for 10 inches and call it a day.
The one other thing
I'll
that
stop
I'm
at
doing
10 if that's what's required. Fuck
the,
that.
The one other thing is that Channel 12. I thought of you when I signed up for this. Channel 12 is doing. They're opening their studio and they're doing like this big Channel 12 kind of news experience, and they're down there and they're inviting the public into the studio to get a tour and to sit at the news desk and to like do some fun like fake filming, just fun stuff and photos, and there's kid, it's kid stuff. So I'm actually have never been inside a news studio before.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised
so
at that.
I,
with all that, yeah, you've, all that you've done, I'm surprised.
There was not a Nantucket, no?
There,
They didn't call that a news studio.
So I was inside it, but yeah, that wasn't it.
or was inside you. Anyway, but those, thank
put
you.
Put those last 2 inches where
stop
we need to.
Fuck that.
I'm so really excited about that.
You're going to go down and sit in Lindsay Cooney's chair and go.
I am. Yeah, and I'm going to like get my photo
at the news desk.
I feel like we should podcast the shit out of that and go do like the Q Talk America tour of.
Oh my God, downtown. Oh,
fuck, yes.
Yeah, that would be really fun. And Tiger Woods is here for the, I don't know that he's here quite yet, but he's rented out a whole shit block of rooms over at the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess.
Is he playing at the Wasted Open?
Mm-hmm. He is playing.
Because that's, he didn't get right.
I did at the Phoenix Open 1 year, I did the absolute tent.
Yeah.
They have never had a more drunk human being serving drinks to other people as they did that year.
Let me tell you something about the Wasted Open. For 3 years, I lived like behind the porta potties as you're walking to your shuttle.
Stop it.
For real, I lived in those apartments right there.
Yeah, I threw up right in those porta potties.
You totally threw up in front of my
happy
apartment.
Happy days.
Yeah, happy days. That is the most drunk event I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh. In
it's
my
a
life.
Shit storm of messiness.
And a shit storm of all weekend. Like, I lived right there. I would, like, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'd, like, peek one eye open and look out the window.
People are barfing.
And there's some poor girls, like, handcuffed and throwing up with their mascara all down the, you know.
That was Al.
And I'm like, I know. I'm like, Alfred Perkins.
Guilty.
It is 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
I'm sure I was
working.
Going as Missy Al. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How did you make it to 10 a.m.?
How are you that drunk already and getting arrested? What happened?
Because, I made butt ton of money that weekend, and it was through the food and beverage manager of the Point Hilton at South Mountain. She got me the job with an absolute rep to work the tent.
Oh my God, you worked the Wasted Open?
So I worked the absolute tent, and everybody was like, "Oh, drink with us." Well, this was the 90s, so I was like, "Yeah,
I'm gonna."
I don't remember getting home from that event, and I went back the next day, and they're like, I'm like, where's the tent? They're like, you worked there all day yesterday. I'm like, that does not
don't know
me.
Where it is. Yeah.
That is not information that is helpful to my question in any way, shape, or form.
Scale that down, and that's how the Cat Carlson Memorial VIP tent was born.
And then I remember kind of like leaning over sideways, just pouring vodka into glasses, going, what sport?
And the whole time as he was pouring it.
Because it used to be NASCAR was that weekend. it was always the weekend of the Super Bowl. They'd have NASCAR, the Super Bowl, and the
the
Phoenix Open. And it was those three things. And I was so drunk, and I had been working, and I'm like, what fucking sport is this?
Yeah.
And they're like, there's golf balls flying. I'm like, there's balls flying by all the time, people. Like, settle it. So fuck
it's just such a big, big, big weekend in Phoenix. It's really exciting. So either embrace it and get out there and participate, or stay the fuck home.
Capitalize on it and get out there and work in it.
Yeah, it's going to be super crazy. So in some other news here, I don't know if we've seen, but the Koch brothers at it again. And they already are, you know, as most politicians are. We never really quit fundraising. We took a little, like a mini hiatus in November and December, and we are back at it. And
it's called Christmas.
Really true that this campaign for Kirsten specifically, but every... it just gets bigger and bigger every year, and every congressperson is facing a $4 to $5 million budget that you've got to raise to, like, effectively run a campaign.
Insane.
The Koch brothers, so you can't stop. You can't, you know, you don't get to take a year
off. And Sheldon's back at it. Well, that's what they were saying this Iowa event was, to see who could suck Sheldon Adelson's dick first.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, it was
because he put all his money behind... Was it Rick Santorum? Last time he was either Rick Santorum or he was Newt Gingrich.
I think he was Newt Gingrich.
Wrong. He bet wrong early, and then they all had to suck his dick later to get the money that was left.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And so, he lost every... The good thing was is as much money, Sheldon lost every campaign, including state... He didn't
local.
Win the senatorial, no.
Koch brothers' budget is already set to be upwards of $889 million. Seems like a random number, but let's
give
round it up.
Give or take,
$900 million.
Give or take a couple million.
It says this political network is plans to spend close to $900 million in the 2016 campaign, an unparalleled effort by coordinated outside groups to shape a presidential election that is already on track to be the most expensive in history. Well, because they got to take it away from the Dems, and they got to take it away from the Blacks.
But each one is always the most. This last one was the most money ever spent. But they all lost. The good news is that none of them moneyed. The good news for our system is that because of the groundwork and the what's the communism thing
about grassroots.
Yeah, but community organizers.
Sure, mm-hmm.
that's the communist thing. That he Same won time. The election in every state that they dumped the most money in. So I mean, hopefully we can keep that trend going, but.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It was actually really exciting to see in terms of my own campaign, like how the money was exactly spent in really, really, really targeted neighborhoods based on previous trends. I mean, it's just like, it's fascinating to see, but it's really also discouraging that it's at this point. It's crazy.
Don in Washington. What segment is this?
Just who knows?
Just play some along,
other
Don.
Shit. Yeah. Other shit.
It's 90 minutes after alcohol has been served.
Sports and other stuff. So anyhow, fuck the Koch brothers. Steny Hoyer is an amazing congressman. He is the House Minority Whip. I only bring this up because I love him so much. He's like really from Maryland. He's the best guy. He has one of the safest districts in the whole wide world, and he just kind of gets to do what he wants. He is pushing his colleagues to protect their LGBT staffers from workplace discrimination. So Congress does not even have workplace discrimination ordinances for their LGBT staff members, colleagues, and a lot of people on the Hill are gay.
Super
huge amount of LGBT staffers on the Hill.
And because DC is one of the gayest districts in the country.
It's one of the gayest.
And the Democrats win like 91%
in
to
DC.
9.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I like the fact that, and I've not been there, I just think it's interesting, like you just make the comment about how it's the gayest in the whole land. They have full nudity in bars where guys stand on the bar.
That's for the Republican senators. That's not for the gays.
Right, no. Could very well be, right. But I'm saying is, it's pretty damn gay there. Because they, I learned about this because there's a bar in Atlanta.
I didn't know that was a thing.
There's a bar in Atlanta called Swingin' Richards.
Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. Figure it out.
Yeah.
But there's a bar that does the same thing up in DC. So you're right.
I
it's like
Google
the
it.
Whole goddamn city is run by Mo's.
And even Toronto backed off because, you know, Toronto backed off their full frontal thing. And I think they make them wear a cock sock now. Mm-hmm. But DC did not.
No.
DC did not get that
memo. They need weed and dick is what they need to run this goddamn country.
That's amazing.
I didn't think we'd get you on that bandwagon.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, we love Steny Hoyer. We love weed, and we also love dick. So that's super duper.
Fuck that. Super duper.
talked a little bit about this Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore, who threatened to defy the tyranny of the federal courts on gay marriage. We kind of touched on it already a little bit, but he's the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, called Tuesday for his state's governor to oppose the tyranny of federal courts that have repeatedly ruled in recent years that state bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional. His letter to the Alabama governor came a few days after federal judge ruled that Alabama's same-sex marriage ban violates the constitutional rights of gay citizens. The ruling in Alabama is currently stayed for 2 weeks to allow 11th Circuit Court of Appeals to decide whether or not marriages should continue to be delayed or should be allowed. So anyway, you know, just like a horrible bigot in Alabama.
Yeah, and he's a good time.
Seriously.
Yeah, horrible
bigot.
He's
bigots. A big fat fuck, too. Mm-hmm. He's exactly what you expect Roy Moore to look like from Alabama. Like, he is his own stereotype.
Really terrible. And that
weird brown stain.
It's so bad. And that, my friends, is it in sports and other stuff.
All right. For those of you who are listening earlier, in reference to my earlier comment, in Cerritos, California, on Saturday, February 28th, Wilson Phillips has a concert. Now on to on to Kat Carlson.
Fuck that.
First of all, it's unfair to make me laugh that hard before my segment intro.
Food trucks are on the ready.
Baby, hold on.
One more day.
And second of all, I've learned that a single topic to shit on really gets much more productive than other topics. So we're going to talk about gender-neutral bathrooms.
Well, you fit all that in 17 seconds. Good for you.
I'm learning to hit my post, well, I know.
Very good. Oh, I like it using all the terms.
I know.
Because when you get that morning show job, you're going to need to know all that shit.
She knows how to stroke you, doesn't
she? Turns click, not when I say post.
She's also on board for pie charts, which none of you fuckers ever got.
I love the shit out of some pie.
You liked pie.
I just wasn't on time when you handed them out.
I'll email them.
Because it's Cake's cousin.
All right. So I ran across an article.
Kat is talking.
No, shit all over it. I don't give a shit. Come on, now it's 9:45. I ran across an article that kind of was interesting to me, and I posted it on my Facebook earlier this week, about the concept of bathrooms becoming gender neutral.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. And it was originally talked about by a gal named Lacey Green from MTV's clearly groundbreaking show called Braless.
It's sagging in the ratings.
Clearly, but I thought that the point was very good. Some of the points that she made were very good. And so I'm going to read a little bit from it here. And she starts with, the worst thing that I, as a cisgender, which cisgender means someone who identifies as the gender they were born as.
Okay.
So
us.
Cisgender people in this room.
We are.
Right. Because the boys go in the boys' room and the girls go in the girls' room, regardless of how much they look like boys.
Self-deprecation always works, Kat.
It's a thing.
It is.
The worst thing that I, as a cisgender individual, have to worry about when using a public bathroom is the inexplicably awful aim of those who came before me. Every day I take for granted the fact that I'll be able to access a bathroom at all, risk-free, which for transgender and gender non-conforming people is not always guaranteed. In this week's installment of MTV's Braless, Lacey Green breaks down why safe access to gender-neutral bathrooms are a necessity and how our current sex-segregated bathroom model doesn't adequately address everyone's needs. Gender-neutral bathrooms are now a codified thing in Austin, Texas, of all places.
Right, Texas.
So why not everywhere else? If you're unfamiliar with this topic, you might be wondering why people are making such a big deal about bathrooms in the first place. But remember, bathrooms have been politicized spaces since, like, forever. And I'm not just talking about the wide stance scandal of Senator Larry Gregg. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can always go back to, fuck that, you can always get to him.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Transgender Law Center's Peeing in Peace Resource Guide...
What?
That's right.
Say that again.
Come on, you can't just walk by that one.
What was this again?
The Transgender Law Center... have a resource guide that they've named Peeing in Peace.
Oh, got it.
It details many of the ways in which the law has affected bathroom access, from the whites versus coloreds at racial segregation under Jim Crow to the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, which, among other things, guarantees accessible public bathrooms to all citizens regardless of ability.
Sure.
Which I think is fairly important.
Yeah.
The guide also highlights how dividing our bathrooms along a male-female binary is politicized as well.
That's fancy.
Fancy.
You gotta know your shit to get to that.
There's a lot of fucking words in here.
Piss in peace.
I like
words.
Yeah, that's good shit.
I'm reading them out loud.
Yeah. Proud she is.
But the binary division outright denies individuals who don't identify as male or female a designated safe space to use the bathroom. It also opens up trans and gender nonconforming people to discriminatory gender policing by the bathroom's other occupants. And I know we talked about, did we talk about last week the Kentucky law?
Yes. Yeah, because we, and we talked about how downtown Phoenix, all the bathrooms are, all the bathrooms in downtown Phoenix are gender neutral. They're both. They all say both.
Right. So the overriding argument for is just for like single stall with maybe a common wash area. Let everybody do their business in peace, and I'm 100% for it.
You know what I mean? Stacey's, and four drinks in. Who the fuck knows where you pee in Stacey's?
For real.
It's a local bar for those of you.
That is for real.
There is no, there, it's just a bathroom.
There's urinals in the back.
Everybody goes around the corner.
There's urinals in the back, but the rest of it's like stalls. Front, and then there's a community, big community
sink. There's a door that locks, do your business.
And I've wondered about that before, because I'm always kind of like, the first few times I went in there, and like I'm inevitably drinking, probably a lot.
What?
And I go in there and I'm like, I don't know if this is right, but I'm just going to do it. And it's never an issue. And I go in with my male friends and I recognize that we're both walking into like this big undoored bathroom area together, but it's like not a weird thing.
Yeah. And but then everybody closes their door and does their business.
Of course.
Then comes out and washes your hands together. Right.
But I really feel like that I'm on board and in support of the gender neutral bathrooms. 100% for 100 reasons. You know, I posted it on my Facebook and I had one or two people post about, you know, how, oh, that was just inviting assault and all of these things. And I feel like the more people that are involved and the more people that are just like out and open in any kind of a space, like the more we self-police.
Oh, definitely. And there was I think I've talked about this 100 times. There was that women's series at Gamage a few years ago. It was called Unique Lives or Unique Experience.
You've talked about it, yeah.
And Ann Richards spoke. Mary Tyler Moore spoke.
Oh, my God. I watched Mia Farrow. Really amazing Ann Richards documentary on HBO. Did you see it? I cried.
It's amazing.
Super cried. We talked about that last year. It's online.
Almost
it. Yeah. Amazing. But anyways, so when they did the women's series... They
definitely missed it.
Yeah. When they did the women's series, they made all the bathrooms in Gamage women's bathrooms, except for the two handicapped ones on the first floor, and those are the men. So the men had to stand in really long lines to pee, and the women had all the access to stalls.
Sure.
So they had the women's rooms, the men's rooms, and they didn't care that there was, you know, 10 things on the wall that they weren't going to be able to use, or you might be able to, depending on if you're drunk enough and tall enough.
I've seen the girls try.
But the conversation afterwards was never about the speakers. It was about the bathroom experience. And everyone was like, I didn't have to wait to pee. There was a 15-minute break to go pee, and we all peed.
And everybody had time.
And the guys were all like, why do we have to wait in that fucking line? Why don't they open up a bathroom for us? And I'm like, have you never noticed the line of women you walk
all
by?
All the time.
The people
that can't stay till the actually end of the first act because they want to get in the pee line in time. Like,
but I feel like I can't be that person that waits. Like, people get frustrated, men and women, or sometimes they don't, but management. But I don't do it to try to like be shocking or crazy, but I have to go to the bathroom and I'm not going to wait behind 30 fucking people in line when there are literally no one in here.
Right.
Like, I'm not waiting.
I'll close the door behind me and lock it.
Yes.
I'm not peeing in front of you. I'm not going to whip it out.
This is not a weird sexual assault. I just have to go to the bathroom.
And as soon as you go to a sports game where it's more set up for men, because you got to find the women's room, or you're at the airport when a flight gets out and there's gender neutral, just lock the door behind you. Put up stalls.
As long as there's
a
privacy door, and off we go.
And then you can have an actual lounge. If the ladies want to get together and put on lipstick and smell each other's armpits or whatever they do in the bathroom,
you can have
a lounge for not peeing.
Right.
Right.
So there
you can
was
have
also
a ladies' lounge. That's perfectly appropriate.
I was at.
How's that? I just solved the whole problem.
It is. But I was also at like a Ross or something with Palmer. Like, we were just doing some shopping. And she all of a sudden says to me, I have to go to the bathroom.
Sure.
So we go around the corner and there's a men's one room, you know, men's room, and a one bathroom women's room. So both of them have closed locked doors. So I come around the corner and there's like two women waiting in line for the women's restroom, and then this guy comes walking out of the men's restroom. There's no one else there and they're just standing there. And I said, is anyone else like, is this weird? Like, are you guys going to go in there? Like, well, that's the men's room.
Yeah.
What? Well,
it's
I'm
a toilet
then.
And a sink.
With a lock.
I can't tell you how many men's rooms like that I've been in. I'm
works
like,
the same.
Whatever.
This is recent. And I go, well, I'm going to go in there. Okay.
And
all
I tell people at the Chipotle at 24th, 20th Street in Camelback, I tell people all the time, Or Postino's, Street, the yeah. Post, yeah, 16th Street. Or the Postino's in Arcadia, I'll be like, it's a one-person bathroom. If you want to go and I'll stand here, you lock the door. And then we're like, it's a one-person bathroom. They don't know what one person it is. Go in the fucking room and lock the door. Yeah. And I'll have women look like I'm inviting them to, kill the baby Jesus. And they come out and they're like,
I don't know what to
do. Who gives a shit? Right. You peed.
Just go to the bathroom.
You didn't steal the mirror. You didn't break things.
You made room for more wine. Go sit down.
Go sit down. Everyone's happy. And I don't know if their experience from the first Postino's created the new... Postino's with both, if that's why they did it that way, because they realized they were having these weird lines.
Oh, sure, because we're so conditioned and trained, like, oh, I have to go in the girls' room.
And I haven't...
Isn't it the same... Is it the same way at... what the hell's the name of the one up on Central? That side. Windsor. Is it the same way?
Yeah.
Is there a single?
There's just two
everything, singles. Everything along the Central Corridor is both. Even Maisie's is both. Mm-hmm. Maisie's has a guy and a girl, and it says, lock that door.
Sure.
Because we can't guarantee somebody's coming in. Yeah. There might be sausage coming.
I
think the moral of the story here is that nobody should be denied full participation in public life or the basic biological human right to relieve themselves. Cisgender, transgender, gender nonconformist, whoever you are, like
if you've got to pee,
be clean after yourself because women are
like
pigs. Just be clean.
If you squatted and you piddled, wipe the fucking seat down.
Right.
Then wash your hands.
Yeah. If you sprinkle when you tinkle,
be a sweetie and wipe the seedy. Thank you very much, Kat Carlson. And shit, we're gonna talk about.
All right,
I have a question though that nobody brought up, but I thought somebody would. We talked about it briefly at the beginning of the show before we started. There is, and I'm going to get this wrong, I'm sure. Is she a senator? Is she a city council person?
Carney Wilson? Neither.
No. Down in Alabama, somewhere. The one who's going to out everybody. Who's been cheating. And so continue on that story.
Yeah. Do you have that one?
Yeah. That kind of just came about. She was like, if you want to do this, the shit's going to hit the fan.
If you're going to keep fucking with the gay rights.
That's right. You want to keep fucking with this. She's the only openly gay lawmaker.
The microphone, pull it closer. Sorry. That's what we made these.
In Alabama.
Yeah.
She's the only one, and she's threatening to air all of her colleagues' affairs.
Right.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot to say about this shit.
All you high moral standing bullshitters.
Right.
I'm going to tell how many times you slept around on your wife and how many affairs you've had.
Exactly. Right. Because if you're going with this, as you said, that high moral ground.
Right.
Well, there's this whole little thing, oddly, about adultery.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a commandment.
There you go.
Check the law in Alabama.
I'm kind of certain that, right, you know. So they have a lot of issues, and she is saying, of course, the reason I'm here, it is, I'm like stumbling over it because I was waiting for this to come up.
Well, hi, Mark Martinez in the chat room. Thank you for joining us.
Anyway, her name is Patricia Todd, and she's offered and issued, I should say, this ultimatum. Keep talking about same-sex marriage as an affront to family values, and I will expose your dirty laundry in your extramarital affairs. She posted a statement on Facebook that said, "This is a time where you find out who are accepting, loving people." To say I'm disappointed in Speaker Hubbard's comments and Attorney General Strange makes me laugh. Choice to appeal the decision is an understatement. I will not stand by and allow legislators to talk about family values when they have affairs, and I know of many who are and have. I will call our elected officials who want to hide in the closet out.
I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, I want to see what their retort is to this, because I'm sure they're going to come up with some bullshit how she's holding them hostage.
Sure, of course.
And all this bullshit
about terrorists. I
heard that earlier. Terrorists.
I think so.
From Oklahoma.
Mike Hubbard, the Speaker of the House, vowed in a statement to, quote, continue defending the Christian conservatives' values that make Alabama a special place to live.
So special.
Unquote. After a U.S. District Court judge declared the state's ban on same-sex marriage unconstitutional. So it's not Todd's salacious ultimatum comes as court challenges to same-sex marriage fail across the country. And as the Supreme Court could settle the matter in its coming session. But as same-sex marriage opponents, there's a map. 36 states and D.C. Allow same-sex marriage. And they're saying, as Alabama has this dust-up show, no matter how the courts rule, same-sex marriage is likely to remain a very messy issue within the Bible Belt, because that's what's showing on this, that it's, you know, obviously just straight down the Bible Belt, that it's an gross issue. They have not responded to her, because that just came out. So there isn't a full-on response yet that I've seen, because she just came out with that.
But I'm curious to know, do we know anything else about this? Did she run on an openly gay platform and was, and Mike, because she was elected. She wasn't appointed, right? She was elected to this, because what is she?
She is.
I forget against city council. Oh, I have a follow-up question for you.
She's a state representative.
Okay, so she was elected to this. Yeah. So people elected her. She ran. She campaigned. They elected her. Boom. But I'd like to know: did she run on an openly gay? Did everybody already know that she was a?
I believe from everything I'm seeing, I believe so. Because there is, she doesn't look like she could hide behind.
I've seen her. I agree that she may look at Home Depot on Saturdays. I'm not sure about her, but. What I'm saying about this is, you know, there was no hiding this. She was elected out of the people, but you were talking about the fact that this issue in the Bible Belt is going to be always a complex one, because you've got the people against it and for it. But she was elected. So somebody knew it and they said, we're okay. We like her. She's a good person. Let's get her in there. And then.
First openly gay lawmaker.
Okay, so openly gay. So the that whole thing. So she was elected.
She was probably elected by the urban area.
Oh, naturally. She's certainly not in the farmlands.
Yeah, no. Right. Okay. Well, I'd like to hear more about this and see what their response is about that, because I'm sure that they're going to be like, oh, she can't do that to us.
Now, in a similar story, one of the main reasons that Florida got its asshat-dom many, many years ago was that they had a thing about giving up children for adoption, and the male Republican lawmakers in Florida were trying to prevent women from giving up children for adoption. So they made it so that if you had to take out a billboard in the city you lived in, and if you were going to give your child up for adoption, you had to list all your male partners on the billboard. You had to pay for the billboard.
What?
List all your male partners.
How long ago was this?
Late 90s. It's when my boycott of Florida officially started.
Okay.
So here were these people trying to do the right thing.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Not do the right thing, but they were making a choice that wasn't the one that the people were obviously against, which was... The anti-choice people.
Still against adoption.
Right. But just anti-woman from start to finish.
Sure.
So then they were saying, like, okay, now you've made a different choice. You're decided for adoption, but these...
So you're not going to kill the kid.
Yeah, that's these fucktards. But now you have to, like, you have your scarlet letter. And it wasn't until... And it was a Republican male that stood up in the Florida House and said, you do realize before you pass this bill that it's your names that are going to be on the billboard. And you're going to have to explain to your wife why you slept with this woman and had an indiscretion.
Oh my gosh. You do know
that you're calling her a whore, but she's going to list the names of the people that she slept with, and you're going to be on there. So just be really careful before you start like calling women whores and asking them to name names, because it's going to be your name on there.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Stop shaming the whores you're sleeping with.
That bill died like... at a zero vote. They couldn't get any. Once, like, I think a couple of women voted for it just to be funny, like, oh, ha, look at, we fucked them. Very funny. Look that vote up. It was about adoption in Florida. And that's how Florida got its, that's when they went off the rails. That's when, like, they just lost their boundaries.
Oddly, on late last night, there was a response. It's called the Ethics Alarm. ethicsalarm.com, and it's called, they're calling Patricia Todd an ethics dunce. Ms. Todd is Alabama's only openly gay legislator, and now she's an openly unethical legislator. She doesn't like the political and social arguments some of her colleagues are making against gay marriage, so she's going to extort them to shut them up. Maybe she got the idea from Citizen Kane, it says. Her threat, if opponents use family values rhetoric as a reason to oppose marriage equality, she'll start making rumors of their marital infidelities public. I'll not stand by and allow legislators to talk about family values when they have affairs. And I know who many who aren't half-ish, as I had said before.
Because they all eat at the same places. They eat near the Capitol. They eat near where they work. Like, they're sneaking around, but no one's that good at sneaking around. And like we learned from Sex and the City, everybody has their dirty little secret restaurant.
Sure.
That you go to, the shitty Chinese place that you you know, you go and you have the dinner with your mistress. Everyone knows where those restaurants are. Everyone's accidentally stumbled across. You're like, oh, these are all fake couples.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every nobody wants to be seen here.
You were talking about The Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
What was that?
That's a movie.
No, no, no. Fuck that. When you were talking
about
The Godfather Part 2. It's an
excellent movie. Not the best in the trilogy, but
The Godfather Part 2 is where Michael Corleone is trying to get away from...
I know. What were you talking about?
I was talking about The Most Dangerous Year, where they're just doing a different version of someone trying not to be corrupt.
We also quoted something.
Just when I think about it,
they keep pulling me back in.
It says...
He says that in 3.
The fact of her outing these people...
My apologies.
They say, that's certainly ennobling. Openly dirty politics, using threats of exposing tales of embarrassing personal misconduct to force opponents to surrender. Next, what? Taking their kids hostage? Framing those hypothetical reps with photos of dead prostitutes in their beds, like in Godfather Part 2? That's what I was talking about.
Oh,
that's
do the prostitute in the bed thing in Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Godfather 2 is when they moved to Nevada.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's
3 is when he's trying to get out and then his kid dies.
Where does Fredo die?
Fredo dies in 2 because they're in Nevada and then they go to Havana and then they're in Havana at New Year's and then Fredo, you're my brother, I love you.
Yeah.
Frodo?
You want Fredo. Oh. You want to get a man to cry, you play Rudy or The Godfather Part 2 and you will get a grown ass man to cry.
Yeah. Tears. I love that. Yeah, because they take him out fishing pop,
in the boat.
Todd is dangerously unschooled in right and wrong because she is just right. That's all. And anyone who stands in her way deserves to be destroyed. She can't prevail on the merits of her policies and her ability to argue persuasively for them. So her strategy is to cause carnage in her lives, families, and careers as vengeance or to intimidate them.
And I love it that's all they're doing.
They see. Right.
Right. Well,
She doesn't even care if the rumors are true.
Because they don't either.
They don't either, right?
Fuck them.
Awful woman. Unethical official. Political thug. See? Gays in power are just like anyone else, it says. So this is an interesting...
I feel like that's a win.
That's a thug move. Yeah, I'll take a thug.
And they were looking at it like that, so it's interesting. I agree. Take the high ground.
Iron is making comments.
The gay mafia is just like any other mafia. I feel like that's a quality right
but
there.
But we just look better like doing it. Now, I have a follow-up question for you, Kat Carlson.
Sir, or ma'am.
What is up with the plastic sword that's in your shirt?
Yes.
What is it right here? Well, it's book fair week.
Fuck that.
So much fun.
It's so much fun. And
are you Captain Dyke? I don't understand what you are this week.
I don't know, but it happened to be found and somebody brought it to me and said, hey, what's this? And I said, I don't know, but it's mine now. So I tucked it into my shirt along with the like 3 like Super Ball bouncy balls that are in my pocket. And
how inflated are your balls? Currently.
You
how many PSIs specifically?
Yeah. So I accumulate odd things during book fair week and I love it and it's so much fun and I've spent the last 2 days just like... Yeah,
listening
just
to
hanging
kids
out
bop.
With kids and talking and listening to Kids Bop as evidenced by Spotify, which is telling on me.
Okay.
And yeah, no, I get to spend a solid week 3 times a year hanging out with like elementary school kids and talking about books and encouraging them to read and encouraging them to find a new or to read another perspective.
Right.
Because that is my very favorite thing about reading.
To stop doing this all day long.
No, I don't give a shit how much they text, but read, and even fiction and even comic books.
But if you can't travel and you can't get out and meet other people, at least do it through
books.
And good books will help you feel what other people are feeling.
Yeah. And bad books are just good reading, too. You know what I mean? Like, people used to pick on me for reading Stephen King when I was younger.
My mother had
a
thing for trashy romance novels, and let me tell you, I read all of them.
And I read all of them. Yeah. Because once you like to read, you'll just read anything, and eventually a beautiful book like A Separate Piece will fall across your table. You know, in between Stephen King books, something really beautiful will fall across. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything beautiful about Separate Piece except for my interpretation of it,
but
I liked
it.
Yeah.
All right, kids, we're running a little early, and we like it, because for once, we're going to start this segment before a quarter past 10 o'clock. It's the last segment of the show. We call it Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right, well, Marina just decided to leave the...
She's trying to get out of being first, and I feel like we should wait for her.
Yes, okay. You are.
Well, let's go with, I mean, with the topic, with the topic at hand, is
Carney Wilson hungry?
Exactly.
Oh.
Okay, I said Carney. I said
are Meatloaf and Carney Wilson the same person? It needs to be asked. Poor thing.
They've never been seen in the same room together.
Right. So when you're if someone was gonna, I mean, I don't really see any of us being threatened by being outed at work, but if someone was threatening to pass something discriminatory at your job, would you be willing to like throw their indiscretions in their face if they were gonna whip out a Bible at you and be like, well, my Bible's, but you knew that they were
a hypocrite?
Yeah. Shoplifter, secretly having affairs, watching porn.
Very delicately, yes. I would. I think that there is a way.
Would you house of cards it and manipulate them?
Ooh. Oh, totally.
Or throw them.
Wow.
Or throw them in front of a train.
I don't know what house of cards literally. It means, but I'm going to manipulate the shit out of that. Like, I just think that there is a way. That there are ways of going about that kind of stuff that isn't like, well, nan nan a boo boo, you said, and so here. I think that there's a subtle way of saying, hey, remember that there's this other kind of information. So maybe don't be so, you know, holier than thou, and maybe rethink all that. And I think that there are ways of having those conversations, not publicly.
So you wouldn't overtly screw them, but you'd let them know that the screw was
absolutely
available.
Because as
screw is
well,
available.
And I wouldn't then overtly do it because it's not going to do anything but make me look bad.
Right. True.
That's, so okay. I'd rather be able to move on and just feel like if this is a company that I'm working for that's going to do this anyway, fuck that.
Oh, yeah. Right. And you would hope your company would.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Ben Carlson?
You know...
Calling Dr. Ben Carlson.
Stat.
Thank you for calling.
Is the caller there?
Oklahoma, are you there?
Yeah.
Poughkeepsie! You're on!
You know, coming from like a discriminatory standpoint, that's actually really hard for me because I've worked in a gay bar for a really long time. So discrimination...
Almost 10 years, we hear.
Almost. Yeah. Well, you know...
I told you I'd loan you the 2 weeks for my 10 years to get you to the same time.
Well, since I just migrated to another gay bar, I can really say that I've worked in the gay bars mm-hmm. in this town for over 10 years now. Mm-hmm. So, right.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, from the discrimination standpoint, that's really hard for me to answer because I don't know. I can't think of the last time I professionally experienced discrimination, per se. But I will say that I completely disagree with using someone's personal life against them professionally. Like, I don't care.
Even if that's what they're proposing for you.
Even if that's what they're proposing for me. Yeah, okay. I'm kind of a high road kind of a person sometimes.
Well, then Aaron's going to love you.
Right. Hi, Aaron. So I can't imagine like dragging out their personal drama regardless of whether they've laid all mine out. Partially because I tend to just lay my own out. So it's really not a tool to be used against me because my personal drama is probably already out there somewhere for people to see. So that's going to be a hard tool for somebody to use against me. But I think... I just think that that's really trashy to do, and if somebody's going to come at me with that, I'm just going to look at them and point out just how fucking trashy they are instead of tit for tat.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would actually be more a little bit along the lines of Marnie. Like, I think just very behind their back. So that's malicious and telling. But I think I would really be like, hey, did you hear actually what Marnie blah 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 blah? And I would just do that to every don't tell anyone, but
right.
Like I think I would, but I also but
not along lines of what I was saying.
Oh, that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
I'm off.
I'd like to join you under the bus, but that's not what I said.
And I'm not trying to throw you there, but no.
Okay, well, I feel like I would definitely.
I feel like you would too. You'd go a little bit more House of Cards
than
she was going.
But
yeah.
I would definitely
I didn't know
not.
What House of Cards meant.
But I definitely
win at all costs.
But I definitely
he pushed a bitch in front of a train. Like literally.
No, no, no! I'm not going to House of Cards it. I'm going to manipulate that person and like let them know. But I'm not.
So that's a mild House of Cards. She's going full House
until they become out of control, and
then you push it in front of a train.
See that. I'm just walking away.
I just, Spoiler alert. I think that's bullshit. And if someone's going to go there with me, I'm going to go there with them. And not a really, like, overtly, like, on media, everybody! But I'm going to do it in my own. I think I would.
I
although I do have to say that I also am, obviously was not in the same boat as Marnie, but am it with Kat that I have not, I can't tell you, I've never worked in a place where I have ever felt threatened for like who I am or what I do or any of my crazy backstory history. Like I just kind of
nobody ever brought up Nantucket to
put
you
it out there. No,
until she got here with the other people that seemed to judge
right,
about that.
Then they can't stop talking about it.
Surprisingly, yeah.
But aren't you glad you told these people your shit?
Uh-huh. I was so drunk that night.
We know,
but
I
think I would definitely. I would. Start to spread their own shit around them.
Yeah.
I would.
And just, may I just?
Yeah.
I meant I'm going to talk to that person and remind them of the, you know, like I...
Oh, like blackmail style.
No, not blackmail. Like I,
hey,
you,
bitch,
you know
I know your
I know
shit.
Like, I know she wants to put a pretty hat at it, but
no,
that's blackmail.
No, like, I'm not going to tell anybody else. That's what I said. I'm going to walk away. Like, I'm just reminding that person, hey, I don't know what you're doing.
But when it comes out about you, you're going to be just as fucked as everybody. You know what I mean? You're,
yeah, exactly.
But more like, so because you were wearing the moral high
right,
hat.
And I'm not going to be the one that leaks that stuff. I'm going to be the one that's just like... Can we talk here for a minute? Because whatever you're doing here, this is stupid. Because look at what you've done.
Yeah.
And I know that you've done that. So why are you keeping up the charade? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, so drop the Bible, bitch.
Right, exactly. Put it back on the table as decorative.
Back in the drawer.
Back in the
drawer. With the story of Conrad Hill.
That's right. Next to your whore that you just opened.
And Christ Jesus.
This might not be the exact...
He's filed alphabetically.
This might not be the exact answer, the answer to the question you're asked, but...
Answer whatever question you heard.
No, I'm saying...
That's a real thing. No, do that.
It's similar in... obviously, I work in a lot of different environments. Service industry, gay, straight, sports bars, high-end restaurants. I do. I work in a lot of different environments because of what I do. But one time a few years back, there was a general manager of a... I believe it was a sports bar. And... I've never masked. I don't hide. I mean, when I walk in to train you and install your equipment, my hair is done, my makeup is perfect, and I'm pretty much together. And I don't ever hide who...
Possibly
who,
heels. Definitely lip gloss.
It's actually Carmex, and I don't wear heels anymore.
She's pretty when she comes to work.
Not since the gout
injury. Yeah.
Not since the gout injury of 2012.
Real thing.
Yes, it was
really
a real thing.
Was.
Yes.
Was,
and
yes.
I have a follow-up story about that, too. Anywho...
I don't have gout anymore. Follow-up time.
This is a
spoiler alert.
So
this is only a 3.5-hour show.
There was the general manager that clearly had some hang-ups and some issues in regards to me, though the rest of the staff and the owners of the establishment were like, okay, they just didn't give a shit, but he had a fucking problem. And he was like, I could tell in every time I was around, he was gonna go after me. And his goal was... to figure out some way to make the owners of the establishment turn against me for the whole thing. And like I could just tell with comments and stuff, he was going at me. And I just pulled him aside and I said, listen, I don't care what the fuck you think you're doing, but I'm bringing a system that's going to simplify everything and help you make more money. So you can do whatever the fuck you want to do, but everybody here is on board with this. I don't listen to any more of your shit, and I don't want you to make another faggot comment about anything because I'm not going to deal with it. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go directly to your owners, and I'm going to tell them exactly what you've done to me. Mm-hmm. He kind of took a little back. Within 3 months, he was fired just because he was stealing from the company.
Which is what your system could prove.
Right, it's exactly. And all of a sudden
that's why he was unhappy with you coming in. Yeah.
Well, because all of a sudden the gig was up. All the skimming, all the shit. No, he was using the gay as the, oh, here's our problem. No, the problem is the fact that math is your problem.
Right. Yeah. It's always
computers,
fucking math.
Computers are so literal.
Funny. One plus one equals two. And math trumps other things.
Oh, my God.
Facts.
Yeah. Depending on the situation, I wholeheartedly would. I would figure out, depending on the tactics were used and how the person brought it, I would use everything within my power to figure out a way to, maybe not overtly, but I would figure out a way to pass a note during class and figure out how to make something on the down on the DL.
I'd go full on House of Cards.
Oh, no. No.
I've never had a discriminatory job, and I really have never encountered anyone who was like so like opposed to, and you know, I worked in sports bars. I worked at a golf course.
Sure.
Where everybody was like,
though he didn't know golf was happening.
No, that was a different thing.
That was boredom / liquor. But I've been in those situations, and the he's just funny goes, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of straight people that pay, oh, he's just funny. And then they find out, like, oh, no, he's serious about it and going to be really pissed off. Right. But if it came down to that, like what she's doing, I would certainly. And there would be no moral high ground. Because as far as I'm concerned, that fucker's playing dirty, I'm going to do it better.
Sure.
Like, I'm going to make you wish you never played dirty.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to dig and dig and dig until you and your family fall apart because you're a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You treated me like a piece of shit. I'm just going to give it back to you. Sure. And that is a big thing that probably should go to therapy with me.
No. Nope.
Not at all.
It's called Tuesday Nights.
Right. And I think it's very honest that you're able to. I just know that I would get very bored with somebody like that very quickly.
Oh, I would too. But first I would want to destroy them.
Yeah.
But I have that problem.
And I might verbally abuse them.
Yeah. But like, I have that problem with relationships where somebody goes in with a minor little dig and I take it as World War II and come back with an atom bomb.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
No. In thoughtful vulgarity. Yeah.
You overcompensate your retort.
Oh, yeah. It is not an equal response in any way, shape, or form. Right? The minute you get under my skin, we're coming back at Nagasaki.
They bring a mouse trap and you bring Nagasaki.
Hiroshima.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that overkill? I'm terribly sorry.
Is that napalm that I smell?
Is it toast?
So then just a quick follow-up because we're so far ahead of the game. So is that not as we're talking about transparent and stuff like that, which I just got the joke about transparent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It took me like five episodes to get
I've
that
never
joke.
Even watched the show when I got that.
I didn't get it. But isn't that the danger of secrets? Like, don't you think that's the danger of keeping these secrets, that these people are so moral high ground but morally just fucktards that they're fallible? Like, they have no moral high ground to stand on. Like, isn't that the danger?
There's such a superiority. Like, people think go to Facebook. Like, people see that you put a little something, and people can figure out kind of what's going on. People are so superior about that stuff.
My
best friend
I'm guilty of it too.
Friends and I know every one of your secrets.
Right.
Like, I will always tell my best friend something, so therefore, I've told somebody.
Right? Is that really a secret?
So that whole idea, right, and I know for a fact that I have kept certain secrets that are just, they will go to my grave.
Right.
Where the bodies are.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Was it murder?
So I guess that's what I get out of all this and from watching Transparent is just the danger that secret lives and keeping things hidden and being a hypocrite, it leads to such
and nothing
ugliness.
Is really hidden.
No, nothing's hidden because it all comes out
hidden.
And it's going to come out as an atom bomb.
Sure.
And love the atom bomb reference now.
Anyone who thinks that, you know, like they're going to have an affair, but that person loved me so much that they'll never tell.
Yeah.
Never okay, Jennifer Flowers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but just as a very quick, I got some new things. I don't think we have.
Shut the fuck up.
Peanut butter and jelly strawberry.
Oh, it's a teaser on next week's episode.
Shut the fuck up.
PB&J strawberry.
Grape ape.
You have been to different lands.
And I got two of them just in case.
I think that's a safe bet.
Because you're going to take one home with you out.
Since we know the good they do with blueberry, strawberry, and raspberry.
And lastly.
Uh-oh.
I believe you should hand over the PB and strawberry because that is my fucking jam.
Stop yourself.
This is not the correct stuff that I was looking for.
What
is
that?
It's what I could find.
It's pimento.
It's pimento, but it's pickle and pimento.
Wow.
Oh, I totally forgot the pimento loaf.
All right, avert your eyes. Avert your eyes. He's going in.
No, that's a different kind, so I don't know.
You know what? I have bread. I have stuff.
I was going to get
your
bread.
If he puts black raspberry jam on that, I'm vomiting.
But that is black.
Is that it?
Let me see it. Let me see the label.
Seedless black raspberry.
That's it. Smucker's. Bingo. I love that shit.
She'll get you another bottle next week.
You don't even know.
They also sell that as Simply Fruit as well, if you would prefer that.
I love Simply Fruit.
Lovely.
Well, good evening.
I think with the
anyway,
I was selfieing with the strawberry.
I'm like, hello,
just in case
girl.
I have a stroke. I love you guys.
Thanks, Mark. We love you too.
As I just serenade my
thanks
new grape
for the cake and all the gifts.
Before I have a stroke. Wait a minute.
Actually,
well, you can still use your left arm.
Actually, this actually gives me a reason to actually go make toast.
Yeah. See? With strawberry. Yes. I need to take one of those.
Do we go into the question with you, or have we all communally answered it?
No, I think we did. The secret thing was just, yeah. No, it was all pretty all right. good. Just don't do
I didn't
it.
Get it. Communally answered.
Yeah. It turned into more of a monologue, sorry.
I guess.
To watch Transparent on Amazon Prime.
There's that. All right.
Good Lord.
Also, just for a reminder, Wilson Phillips in concert, February 28th, Cerritos, California.
Food trucks are standing by.
I have pimento left. My God. All right, kids, you've done it. You've wasted 3 hours, 22 minutes of your Tuesday night or whenever.
Of a three-hour show.
Of a three-hour tour.
It's actually a two-hour show.
Yes.
90 minutes in.
Extended for your pleasure.
30.
This is Q-Talk America. 60. I'm Clayton McKee, again alongside Katie June, Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We thank you for being with us every week in Studio C. Oh, we couldn't do it without you, the listeners. Well, we could, but it sounds good to say we couldn't.
But we're happy you're here.
We will leave you with this final thought. How about this? We'll see you
next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.